Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think.
Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes. No.
No?
Sir. It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by now.
No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think. Since you're thinking now, go on. Think.
No,
is
no.
it fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now. This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
Paul Perillo.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
And Andy. And Andy?
Think you got a future in football?
Andy Hart.
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You got anger, that's good. You got aggression, that's even better. You're going to need that, too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. We will be perfect. Let's go to work.
Anger, aggression. No, it's not football. It's PFW in Progress.
Especially yesterday.
You never come in that early. You're never supposed to come in that early. You just ruined the whole bit. All right, no, I'm only kidding, Doc. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred, Andy, Paul are here. Eric is too scared.
I got to tell you, Freddie, for the second week in a row, I evidently missed monster fireworks.
You leave and all hell breaks loose.
I'll tell you. I'm the guy who has the reputation as being the instigator, the arguer, the provocateur.
No, it was okay.
But this is 2 weeks in a row. All hell has broken loose.
It was okay until the ex-voice of the Patriots said that I was a Patriots apologist. So.
You're not?
I'm not an apologist.
Oh.
You know, am I a homer?
Rump
yes.
Swab.
Am I a homer?
Butt
yes.
Boy.
But I am not an apologist. That, you know.
So you don't apologize for them?
No, because no, apologizing would be acknowledging there's anything wrong with them.
Well done.
You know? So anyway, we got a big show coming up. Our last one before the Patriots take on the Ravens this Sunday in the wild card weekend. Patriots are favored by, what, 4 points now, is it? Is that the
3.5.
Three and a half. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be doing our wild card weekend picks. At the end, we won't need a lot of time because there's only four games. So
you sure?
We should be able to finish it. What else we got, Doc? We got some recording from yesterday's Rook show that Doc thought we should play. Trent Dilfer was on.
Yeah, I lost interest in this.
So we'll play a little bit of that. And I do want to thank Andy. You mentioned it. Bar Louie was nice enough to provide lunch for us today. Bar Louie is a restaurant here at Patriot Place. Unbelievable menu. Everything you could want on the menu. I have lunch there often. But I think they're all over the place. I think they're big in Chicago. That's where they started.
Where were we? 2 weeks ago we saw one.
Where in Houston?
Buffalo?
Either 2 weeks ago.
Maybe it was Houston. But one of our road trips, and I didn't know that it was a chain.
Oh, yeah. I think they started in Chicago. I think
you're right. They have them in Denver also. And this one is the number one Bar Louie in the country.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, anyway, Sam in Chicago, if you're out there and you want to,
sound hot.
Yeah, go to Bar Louie and say that.
Bet you Eric would go there with you.
PFW in Progress sent you. So anywhere in the country, if you
he'll say, who the bleep is that?
Yeah, if you're listening to PFW in Progress, you have a Bar Louie. Tell them that PFW in Progress sent
you. Tell them that Freddie sent you.
And I'm sure you'll get a blank stare.
Guys, just told my coworker
to listen to PFW in Progress.
But
and he gave me the bird.
It's a great. The one here, the food is excellent. But I guess after 9 o'clock, it turns into this real hot pickup joint.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
I don't say this. I don't say this lightly either. This is, I think, the best spread we've ever had.
Really?
And I don't say. You know, I don't fool around about food, Fred.
Yeah.
It's funny because
this is a
I don't fool around about food.
This is a Perillo household spread, minus the salad, because I don't think Paul would bother with the salad. But as far as the sandwiches and stuff, this is right up Paul's alley.
Well, it is a good hot Italian or whatever. Like
yeah.
Baked. It's yummy. Good,
it's nice and baked and everything. It's really good. Anyway.
I was hoping to eat
right,
a lot of it.
So
Doc's in there calling everybody in the building to come eat our food.
So thank you.
Take care of the guys who take care of me.
Thank you, Bar Louie.
Who takes care of you?
They do.
Thank you, Bar
Louie.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Yesterday we got into a heated debate about the game. Look, I'll state it right here. I know that the Patriots have a lot of problems, but I'm taking this game against this opponent and simply evaluating this weekend. I'm not saying that beyond this they're going to run the table and make it to the Super Bowl. I'm just saying against the Ravens, the Patriots have a better than average chance, a better than 50% chance of winning the game.
As I asked you upstairs, I would like you to paint me a little picture of how they're going to, specifically what you think they're going to do well and better than the Ravens.
Okay, first of all, I think Wilfork and Warren are going to be back. I'm going to start there. And I think they're going to be successful in limiting Ray Rice. Not the fact, not that he may not get 90, 100 yards, but he won't hurt them.
Okay.
And by doing that, now it puts them in the game. Okay, so defensively, I think that's the key for the Patriots. Obviously, everyone agrees with me. And then I think on offense, even without Wes Welker, I think they'll be able to put up enough points to beat the Ravens.
And part of that hinges, I know you told me, you think Randy Moss is going to have at least an average to decent day.
I think he'll have, you know, I'm thinking if he can come up with 5 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown, I think I'll be happy with that contribution. Because I do think that the Patriots are going to be patient. I don't think they're going to be, you know, airing it out. I think they're going to go underneath the Falk. They're going to go underneath to the tight ends. You know, you might see Sammy Morris catching a ball out of the backfield. I think they're going to use all these guys.
I think that Moss day you're describing could be good enough to win.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're going to get that.
If he has that kind of a day, I think, well, first of all, you know, I'm with you, Fred, and I know that's going to surprise you.
Right.
I'm with you.
I'm shocked.
I am with you. I think the Patriots will win this game, and I think they'll win it in a similar fashion to the way you're describing. I think it won't be pretty. I don't think they'll be lighting the scoreboard up. I think it'll be a fairly competitive game in a fairly low-scoring game, but I think the Patriots have more offense against a bad defense in Baltimore. And it's not a good defense. It's a bad defense. It's not the defense that you guys remember.
I don't know that it's bad.
It's played a little better lately, Andy, but the secondary...
Yeah, I'm not willing to say bad.
I think it's bad.
I think it's okay.
And I think the Patriots find a way to win. And I agree with Fred. I think Ray Rice might make some plays, but I don't think he'll be, Marshall Faulk in his prime where he's able to run and pass and really impact the game dramatically. Now, he was able to do that the first meeting. I thought he had a very impactful game the first time around. I think the Patriots, when they have one thing in mind, generally are,
yeah.
are pretty successful with that. And I think they've been pretty successful at that this year.
Yeah.
I'm not going back to 04. I'm saying this year. They've been pretty successful.
And a lot of the Patriots' detractors in this game point to the performances this game against good this year against good teams. The Ravens are pretty much in the same boat. They're 1-6 against playoff teams, I think, something like that.
Yeah, neither team has beaten anybody all year.
You know, so you know, they're about even there. But then you factor in Gillette with Bill Belichick rather than John Harbaugh. I think you add up all those things. Yeah, Patriots get the edge in this game.
Well, I agree with the in Gillette. It was John Harbaugh versus Bill Belichick the first time, and it was very close. So I don't know that it's Bill Belichick, he's going to win.
I'm not saying it's Bill Belichick he's going to win. I said you add up all those things.
Has Bill Belichick this year been a great coach?
I think that Paul made a really good point. I thought on the radio, or maybe somebody made it and Paul agreed with it. That
probably
you
Glenn
know
made it. Paul agreed.
You know, Bill Belichick. You know, he was a genius and all that stuff when he had better players. This year, you know, I still think he's the best coach in the business.
I do,
but,
too.
But,
I do,
but
too.
You still got to have guys
but I'm
execute.
Talking small. Yeah. I think over the last 2 years, he's cost the team games.
Andy, you'll be happy
to
know.
In Indy last year and in Indy this year, you could argue he cost the team two games.
Yeah, I would.
So ridiculous.
I would argue for that assumption. I would argue on your side on that. And you'll be quick to. I was quick to point out, and you'll be glad to know. Before, I use Bill's words, by the way. Bill was always quick to say, "Well, you know, you can't do any of this stuff without the right. players executing." And he's not going to say the opposite when things don't go well. He's
right.
going to point it to the coaching when things
right.
don't go well.
Right.
We got to coach him better. That's what Bill does. And you know, I wasn't saying that Bill wasn't doing a good job in 2003 and 2004 when he had the players, but. His job was made a lot easier
right.
by the fact, and even Ron Jaworski this morning, I don't know if you caught him. Did you catch Jaws this morning?
No.
On EEI, was saying, they asked him, when he, you know, in his film study, his extensive film study, did he go back and look at specific things that they've done in the playoffs, say, against Indianapolis in the past when they really had all their success, and look at what they're doing now, and do you see the differences? And what Bill said was, what Ron said was, I didn't really see anything that was too outside of the box. It was just players playing at a very high level and executing and so disciplined. He talked about Harrison and Law and Brewski
right.
and Seymour and a lot of the guys that aren't here anymore, how disciplined they played what Bill asked them to do. But it wasn't like these exotic blitz schemes and outside of the box, oh, I never saw that coming kind of stuff that just surprised everybody. They just beat you up.
Right. And, you know, one of the things about being a great coach is knowing your personnel. You know, coaches get in trouble when they try to fit a square peg in a round hole. You know, you got to know the players you have. And you go back to the 4th-and-2. You know, maybe, you know, you can say, well, Bill Belichick cost him the game because, you know, he went for that 4th down. You know, if the ref marks that ball a foot the other way, all of a sudden you get the 1st down and the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, let's just say Bill didn't go for 4th-and-2, and the defense let him down anyway, and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, you would pin that squarely on the players,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
the defense's inability.
But the decision that Bill made to go for it also put it on the players, and in his mind,
the better players.
It put it on the better
players.
No question. Exactly.
No question. I just still don't agree with it.
Yeah. No, I don't agree with it, too. I think they would. I should have punted. But I don't think it makes him a bad coach to know his team, to know the personnel he has and say, you know what, the better players I have right now at this time of the season are on the offensive side of the ball. That's who I'm going to put this on.
It's not about being a good or a bad coach. He's a great coach, just like Tom Brady's a great quarterback and with regularity has bad games because everybody has bad games. That's
right.
The greatest fail a lot of the time.
Right.
And my point is, over the last 2 years, I think he's struggled a little bit more with some of his decisions.
Well, do you think
that Matt Castle game in Houston, in Indy, was a debacle last year?
Well, last year, but do you think that some of those decisions look worse because the players didn't bail them out?
Yes, no question.
You know,
good players cover up bad coaching decisions at times.
He made a lot of risky decisions in 2003 and 2004, I'm sure.
And they worked.
And they worked.
But my point is, it's Belichick and those players versus Harbaugh and his players this year. For all we know, John Harbaugh is going to go on to be the greatest coach in NFL history. Right? So it doesn't matter the history and the lack of experience. It's this matchup. And this matchup 3 months ago was a tight ball game down to the wire that, as we just watched, Paul, on NFL Network, a replay of the final drive yeah. against the Ravens, they were oh so close more than once on that.
I mean, yeah. you're watching the drive and you're sitting there saying, wow, it looks like they're going to score. I mean, even as you're watching it, knowing what happened, it looks like they were going to score.
I know, but in the drive before that, the Patriots had the ball. I think it was like 3rd and 6. Brady kind of rolls out to his right.
Okay.
Welker makes a cut. He just overthrows Welker.
Right. That, and I know exactly the play you're talking about, and I agree. But here's my thing about that, Freddie,
yep.
and I totally agree with you. I think you're making a great point. The old Patriots that we keep saying, Brady,
right.
in history, make that play.
Right.
But you know what? That's not the only time they didn't make that play this year. Matter of fact, more often than not, they didn't make that play this year in the second half of a game where they needed a 1st down to end the game.
Especially on the road. That's
especially
why your
on the road.
Is Gillette Stadium.
Right.
Right. And I agree. That's part of the reason why I'm with Fred on this. You know,
right.
And I think that Fred thinks, I think you think it's going to be a close game, right?
Well, yeah, I think.
Because originally you were talking about 30 plus
no,
points.
No, I said 31-21.
Yeah, I don't think
the
there's any
score.
Chance they score 30 points without defensive scores or special teams
scores.
Well,
I think that'll all factor into it. It's special teams play. You know, those things happen in the playoffs.
But you're predicting that? You're predicting that.
Yeah.
Couldn't they happen for the other team?
Of course it can.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm just saying, I think the ball will bounce the Patriots.
Like, I just look at the way Baltimore played offensively that day, and I thought they looked good at times offensively there, but they only scored 14 points. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, are they just one of those teams that they're really not equipped to get up and down the field and score a lot of points?
Well, I don't think they are, but I'm not sure this team is anymore. And I think they always say if you allow 17 or fewer points, you win pretty much all the time in the NFL. I think one of these teams is going to score 21 points. I think 21 points wins this game. Whether it's 21-20, 23-17, I think 21 points is the number in this game. Three scores, basically. Yeah. And I think either team can do that. I don't think the Ravens are great. I don't think they have a great offense. But three touchdowns is not a lot in this league. Especially, as you say, if you get a big punt return to set up a short field or a turnover on a short field. You know, you give somebody a score, now they only have to earn 14.
Right.
I think 21 points wins it, and I think the score I went was 23-20 Ravens.
I think the offensive line for the Patriots is better than it was in Week 4. You know? And remember...
Wait, hold on that one.
Yeah.
What are you basing that on?
I think Vollmer's better than Kazier.
Okay, but is he that much better that, you know, as a whole year of wear and tear and injuries for the other guys outweighs what you were in Week 4?
Yeah, I think they're a better unit than they were in Week 4.
Okay.
Don't ask for facts, because
don't
fly.
But I can't give them a fact back.
No, I know.
You know, I mean, that's a totally subjective thing. I can't argue with them on that.
Now you're getting to the heart of the argument yesterday afternoon.
Eric
would ask a question, which Fred would respond with another question, and then Eric would ask. No one ever answered a question. It was just questions back and forth.
Sounds like I missed a doozy.
It was very entertaining.
Well, I simply asked.
I saw Rich. The emailer Rich was very upset at Eric.
Yeah, I simply asked Eric, do you think this is a better team than Week 4? And he said no. I finally got him to say no. I don't think it's a better team than Week 4.
And I agreed.
A better team than Week 4.
It's particularly defense.
Defensively, I don't think they're better than they were in Week 4.
I think they've fixed a lot of the problems.
The opposite. I think they've been exposed since Week 4. I think early in the year, people were like, oh, all right, you know, 17 points, you know, in regulation, you know, remember early in the season, you know, regulation were the only points that counted. And I think that they have been exposed a little bit. But offensively, the question is, have they improved enough and sort of come together enough as a unit to outweigh the loss of Welker? That's
right.
What you're basically asking.
Right.
And I think that there's an argument to be said that Brady is much better today than he was in September.
And Eric said that isn't true either because of the injuries.
Well, I think he's played better in the second half of the season than he played in the first half of the season. Right. And I know I know he's been banged up.
I think he's playing better, but he's far more banged up.
But Eric just said he wasn't better. I thought you guys said.
Eric said he's not better than he was in Week 4.
So you're with us. You're with me and Fred.
But I think the injury is a major issue.
Is he
playing better or not?
Well, he didn't play better last week, but he has played
better
down the stretch.
For years, I didn't worry about, because he took so many big hits and got up for years that I didn't worry about it. This year, I worry about every hit.
Okay,
because
worrying about him getting hurt is one argument.
He's already hurt. It's worried about him getting knocked out of the game.
Okay.
There's a difference there.
But worrying about that is one argument, and saying... And admitting he's playing better than he did back then is another.
Right.
I mean, he could get hurt, obviously. I mean, and if
he does, the game's over. He's already hurt. He could get knocked out of the game.
Okay, he could get knocked out of the game, and if he does, the game's over. But until he's – but I'm assuming that he's going to play.
You know what I wish we had? Okay. I mean, not that I wish we had it, because you know what I feel about injuries. I hate them.
Although
Andy says they stink. if Brady were to get knocked out of the game in a playoff game, I wish we had microphones on Fred, because there's absolutely no way that he would say, it's over. There's no way he would say it. Obviously, if Brady gets knocked out of the game, it's over.
I'll give you a recorder to take with you.
There's no possible way you would say that. No possible way.
Hoyer got those reps in the finale. He feels a little more comfortable in the offense.
I kind of side with Fred on this. I think that, obviously, Welker is a huge loss, but they are playing better offensively.
And I'm not sure you're siding with Fred if you think Welker's a huge loss.
Oh, is that right, Fred? Is Welker become an expatriate in your mind?
Of course not. This is Andy once again.
See, that's what happens when you don't hear it firsthand. You don't know exactly what
he
said.
What did he catch? 4 touchdowns?
No.
Wow, Fred.
That was a joke I made walking back to the office. But objectively looking at it, if you look at that Ravens game, Welker had 5 catches for 48 yards. I think in against the Ravens, he won't be as big a factor as he would if the Patriots win and they go on.
That was also his first game back from injury, and he caught 6 passes for 48 yards in that game.
Okay.
But it was his first game back from injury.
Exactly. He wasn't He wasn't a huge factor in that
and
game.
And neither was their offense.
In that game, and they still won.
But my point is, he was a huge factor all year for this offense.
But when I'm talking about playing the Ravens this week, okay?
Okay.
Matching up against this team this week.
Without
not talking about San Diego. I'm not talking about.
Stop saying that. We're not going to San Diego. We're all talking about the Ravens and the Patriots at Gillette Stadium Sunday at 1 in a wild card game.
All I'm talking about is the chances of beating this team this week. That's correct. All I'm talking about.
And you
about.
Believe they're as good or better without Wes Welker as they would have been with him.
Did I ever say that?
Yesterday afternoon.
No. Yes. I said that they can overcome the loss of Wes Welker. Would I rather have Wes Welker on the field?
I don't know
What
anymore.
Do you think the answer is?
I don't know anymore.
Because you're an idiot.
What you did of just say, I though, would. Is I don't know if he would be a huge factor against Baltimore's defense.
No, I never said that.
You
I said,
just said it.
I said in week 4 he wasn't a huge factor.
So I don't know if he would be a huge factor against Baltimore's defense. I believe that's word for word what you just said.
Can you play that back? Because I never said those words.
I can't rewind it. We're not set up to record that way, but you did say that.
I said he won't be a huge factor against Baltimore's defense. I never said those words.
No. So maybe he wouldn't be a huge factor against Baltimore, something like that.
Okay, well, I think they can overcome it against Baltimore. Could they overcome it against the Chargers? No. Colts? No.
I'm with Andy. Stop talking about the other teams.
But that's all. But that's
he's
but
muddying
Paul,
the water. But see, this is a political debate where you ask a question about taxes, and all of a sudden you're talking health care, the war, and immigration.
See, that's been the crux of my argument with these two guys. They're looking at how good are they overall.
But they're looking at the Baltimore game.
Yes,
that's what I'm doing.
And you're looking at all games.
No, I'm not.
Yes,
I'm just looking at how.
And I also will say this for the record. After the Patriots win this week, because you know, I'm going to reiterate, because I know it's going to get turned around, that it's 3-on-1 when Eric comes here. It's actually 2-on-2 because I'm with Fred.
Suck up.
Absolutely. Always. Always. I always side with Fred. You guys know that.
Well,
I never argue.
And it's a consistent
never
divide. The people on this side think Welker's a pretty good player.
I think
and you guys
Welker,
think he's loose change.
Stop it.
You think he's loose change. He thinks he's a hater.
Nice little player. You're embarrassing yourself, as usual.
Not any more than he did yesterday.
Anybody want any more sandwiches, Doc wants to know?
Well, are we like throwing them out? Or
I mean,
not throwing them out.
I might want one in like 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Just trying to save you a trip.
Okay. I'm good. Thanks. Yep. They didn't have any desserts, huh? Son of a
What other kind of sandwiches do they have besides the Italian?
There's a tuna with a kind of a stinky cheese, maybe.
Oh, you don't like
Swiss
it?
Swiss cheese.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And the bread was a little rye-ish. I was just right.
Back to football.
Rye-ish.
He's got a full mouth. He can't talk. All right. Web radio.
He's sucking up to you.
Web radio at Patriots. Oh, see now. Web radio at Patriots.
You, Brad. I want everybody to know it was 2-on-2.
Email address 508-543-7482.
Damn Skippy.
Hot off the net. This is from Strippers Mike Mayock live chat. This is a Ravens Patriots question. Mike, how can a Ravens secondary that features Chris Carr and Frank Walker survive Tom Brady? And this was what Mayock says. Hey, Daniel, kind of an interesting question, and I think you've got to give John Harbaugh and his entire coaching staff credit for creativity. Their front seven can be voracious, and they win games when they don't give up big plays on the back end. The big question is whether or not the Patriots' front can get to Joe Flacco. I think this is going to be a great game that goes down to the final couple minutes.
See, I would agree with that.
I do, too, but I'm not sure it's going to be a great game because it's, like, great on great. I think it's
kind of
mediocre on mediocre.
And it's going to be close.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's great.
Right.
I think it's going to be exciting at the end.
These are two flawed, warded football teams.
Yeah.
So it's going to be close, but not like Colts, Patriots, great close.
06.
Yeah.
You know, that was a great game with
close and mediocrity.
I thought the 06 AFC Championship game was an alternate.
Right.
Alternating of great teams playing at an absolutely high level. Obviously, the Patriots in the first half, the Colts in the second half.
Right.
I don't think that you're going to see that. You're not going to see periods of greatness on either side of the ball, I don't think.
Right. So, let's see.
By the way, they don't have to really stop Tom Brady. The biggest issue is they have to stop the receivers. That's a big part of it.
I think
if they really focus on just taking Moss away, I don't care who you are. If you put two or three bodies in Moss's direction, you can probably take him away, and it's what we've said all week. What else does Brady turn to, and how does that work?
Well, that'll be key, sure.
Because if Ben Watson, you know, deflects a ball and it's Ed Reed picks it off, right. Game, set, match.
Yeah, right. Mayock's point about the pressure, too, and neither side has been able to generate consistent pressure this year. But I do think that that could be a huge factor if the Ravens somehow, you know, they had a huge play in that game. They didn't generate a ton of pressure on Brady, but they got there was a touchdown.
Right, strip sack.
A strip sack. So that's the kind of play that can really change a game. That's how the Ravens live.
Yep.
That's how the Ravens win, and that's how they win these kinds of games. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, who makes the plays, because I don't think it'll be a clean game. I don't think it'll be a turnover-free game. There'll be penalties. There'll be turnovers. It's just who's committing them at the worst times. You know, we looked back at that first game. I know you talked a lot about Wes Welker had 6 for 48. Another thing that happened in that game that I don't think will happen, you know, 9 different Patriots caught passes in that game. I don't think that's happened very often this year. Now, I'm not a huge spread the ball around kind of guy. I think there were 5 different guys caught 1 pass each.
Yeah.
That's not really spreading it around to me.
Falk, Watson, Moss,
all
Edelman,
the running backs caught a million passes that game.
Baker.
Morris, Taylor, Maroney, and Falk all caught passes in the game.
Slater. Yeah, you'd be tough to get there.
While we're on the topic of pressure, Tully Bantakane officially has a 10-sack season.
Yep.
They
got a half sack added, and he walks through the locker room with his both arms and fingers in the air, saying number one. Like
he's morphed into one of my favorite.
I didn't get a chance to ask him. I got the feeling he might have had a bonus double digit sacks Brady was sitting at his locker texting, and he went up and like hugged him and was shaking him and went into the equipment room with his arms.
That might be the biggest indication right there that Brady's ribs aren't broken.
That's true. But Tully Bantakane
got a
great
was
present.
Released yesterday when he hugged Tom Brady and broke out of the room.
He actually, in a towel, hugged Stacey James because Stacey obviously plays a role with
Stacey
stats.
Stacey was in a towel?
All right, well, just so you know, I'm very uncomfortable with that if he's just going up to people in towels.
No, it was clearly the highlight of his life. He has 10 sacks.
Good for him.
You can never take
I'm
that
happy
away.
For him.
You look across, it now has double-digit sacks in a season.
I'm happy for him.
I'm very happy for him.
You know?
He's one of the nicest men there is.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Good for him. Good for Tully Bantakane.
Elbow me when he makes a play.
You know, there's a guy.
We should go up to him today. We should do that. Both of us will go. I just want to let you know. Now that you're a 10-sack guy, you're making plays for us.
It's funny. I might have said, now that you're a 10-sack guy, elbow me when really you make a play.
You're really unbelievable.
That's good for him. Keith writes in. He's from Texas. He says, when are you going to learn, Fred, that when you're arguing with dicks, it is no point in trying to defend yourself because your words will always be used against you.
You're not allowed to say that.
What?
Dicks.
All right. Now, I...
If the guy's name is Richard, I call him Dick, but my name's Andrew.
This is further proof that I could argue with anything. I wasn't even here. I'm going to jump in on this. The emailer suggests that we shouldn't use your words when we're in an argument.
That doesn't make sense.
That's how you debate.
So should we not listen to what you say when we're arguing with you?
Right.
Well, probably not. But, right. But
I think what he means is that they twist your words.
You twist your own words.
The king of that.
I don't twist words.
You twist your own and you twist others.
You twist your own argument, and then you end up saying right.
Chris with a TIAN says, the full October 4th game against the Ravens was on the NFL Network last night.
We just watched it.
A couple things stood out. One, opening kickoff, McGowan causes a fumble, leads to a pass field goal, should have been a touchdown given the great field position. Two, Suggs strip sack of Brady for a Ravens touchdown. Suggs puts great move on Light, no surprise, to get to Brady. Three, Pats make a great stop on 4th and 1 at midfield and get the ball back with 5 and change left in the clock in the fourth quarter. Yep. However, the Pats go 3 and out to give the ball back to the Ravens.
Right.
And then 4, Bodden had a great toe-tapping pick of Flacco. That was a good pick.
Oh, yeah. It was a great play. I'm with you. That also took points off the board.
Yeah. I'm with you guys. I see a close game this weekend with the Patriots having enough offense to win by about a TD.
If the Ravens do those two things, the fumble on the kickoff and that pick in the red zone, I remember that play. Flacco thought it was an out, and I think Clayton thought it was an up.
Yep.
And Bodden made a great play. That took at least 3 points off the board. If the Ravens can't afford to do that, they lose if they do that.
Patriots can't either.
Right. My prediction, Fred Taylor will be the player of the game. No reason. I just like him, and I hope he has a big day.
No reason.
Well, you got to pick somebody.
I thought he was going to follow that up with, you know, the Patriots need to control the clock. He'll get 20 carries, 120 yards.
That's like I'm picking the Eagles against Dallas in that game.
No reason.
No reason. They lost twice. They played twice. They lost
reason.
Both times. No reason.
I think Fred Taylor will be a key to this game. No question. I think that's a solid. If they win, I think there'll be a good reason, and he'll be one of them. And as long as he doesn't fumble on the goal line.
Yeah, well. Does Lawrence Maroney play? Period. Yes. Yes.
Period.
He's active.
So if he returns a kickoff, that means he played? I'm sure he'll play.
I'm the only one that thinks there's a chance, and I think it's a small chance. I don't want to get into Eric, you know, semantics, but I think it's a small chance.
I think if he's inactive, then his career is certainly over here.
Well, you think his career is over here?
I'm torn on that. The little relationship he has with Bill in these personal meetings, I don't know what it means. He has the same relationship, in my opinion, with Brandon Merriweather. I see them getting very chatty. They get along very well. And it sways me. Like, because if he likes those guys so much, he clearly wants to invest in them because he thinks there's an upside that he's trying to, you know, get to. So I don't know. But I think if he's inactive, that has to be a sign that he could be gone.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Because, I mean, you're going to have Ben Jarvis Green Ellis active, I would assume, instead of him.
Yeah.
Because you still have to worry, to me.
You have to worry about Morris
right.
and Taylor getting
Taylor
hurt.
And Morris could be carted off on any play.
Right.
Any play.
That's a good point.
Yep. I mean, you know, how come when I say that, you say right, but I say Brady could be carted off on any play, and you say, no, you can get hurt. That's a freak thing.
Well, you have one quarterback. I mean, that's kind of like, if he could be, but if it happens, you know.
But my point is.
You have five running
it's
backs.
It's more likely now than it was 3 years ago when I used to go, son of a bitch, he gets up after every hit. Right.
Why?
It's more likely now.
Why is it more likely now?
Because this season.
We know
season,
he's dealing with injuries.
Right. He's got four major injuries.
He hasn't missed a game.
No, he hasn't, but I didn't used to see him run to the locker room to get stuff done either after a hit. I mean, there's more reason to believe he missed practices. He's never done that before.
I just don't think Baltimore's going to get to him enough to knock him out of the game. They haven't. That's been a big thing. Trevor Price, they say, is done.
But the guy who's not, his name is Haloti Ngata. And just like Randy Starks and Albert Haynesworth landed on him at 300.
Hello, Ngata. Hello, Fada.
Do you have some food, Eric?
I can't follow that up.
Really,
Eric, did you get some food, Fred? Eric?
No.
There's a lot of salad out there. You like
man
salad.
Food. It looks like it's man tuna food. Salad.
No, there's also regular salad.
You
can toss salad.
You want to eat my salad?
It's very good. I have another.
Okay,
well, if you already ate, why don't you
see what's out there? There's berries. There's like blackberries.
If there was a sandwich, I might have taken part.
A lot of food.
Eat my salad.
Give away all the sandwiches?
I didn't give away anything. I've been standing here.
You were speed dialing everybody in the building. Food down here, food down here, food down here, food down here.
I know what you're doing. You're trying to be the big shot.
Yep. It's how those marketing guys work.
You're trying to be the big shot. Oh,
first of all.
Oh, Jason took care of us today.
He's trying to get a good slot in the orgy.
I just saw somebody who I've never seen in this building before walk out of here with a tray full of food.
Because he called him. He dialed every extension he's ever heard of.
So now Jason,
you allowed someone to walk out with a tray full of food?
Now Jason's the big shot.
Nobody took a tray. And first of all,
I just walked out.
The food was offered to me, which I extended that offer to include you guys.
So you would have just sat there and eaten 700 sandwiches by yourself?
No, I would have taken my wife up to Bar Louie and had dinner. The lady called me.
That's your job.
Why? Why all of a sudden are people calling you and giving you buffet spreads?
I'm a nice guy. She goes, how many people work for you? I said, 25.
Oh, we
First
work
of all,
for you
I
now.
Don't work for
work
you.
For you.
Well,
I work for this guy over here.
If I said,
once again,
if I
Fred
said
Kirsch
two,
is the winner.
So she had no idea
two.
That you
were trying to be a big shot.
No, she didn't.
Wait, she had no idea that you have a radio show here?
No, she didn't. Up until today when I told her we did internet radio, she had no idea.
So why is she offering you all this food?
I have no idea.
How many people work for
actually,
you?
Actually, I could have said two.
You're being disingenuous.
I see what he
I'm
said.
Not. I'm being
disingenuous.
You're being disingenuous.
Right. I was trying to get more food to take care of you guys.
I see that. Bar Louie has never given food down here before.
Fred's point is well taken.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, but
something he's
the big shot.
That's fine. Next
what
time,
what are you doing?
I'll
like
be honest.
Next
time, I'm not getting mad.
Next time, the answer is 50.
Just push the mic away.
Next time, the answer to that question is 50, my friend.
50, my friend. And they like
you know
dessert.
and
because there was no damn
dessert.
Like sweets.
Next time I'm just going to say two, and I'll just take care of Tacoma and Two-Gender.
No. Two-Gender doesn't even count. I don't know who he works for, what he does.
Yeah, why is he down here?
He prances around upstairs doing ads for people, bugging Moore and Michelle.
Yeah,
look at him prancing. Prances around on the field collecting the balls that go through those field goal contests.
That's good. That's a good job.
No, nobody knows what he does. Yeah, he is. He needs to get some balls. Drives a woman's car.
I went out there and I started a nice debate.
I
went out there and deemed this the best spread that we've ever had, and there was about 8 or 10 of them out there because, as we said, Doc called the whole building. You know, the 25 people that work for him.
Yeah.
Actually, Jonathan just called and asked where his sandwich was, so can I get one back?
Yeah.
No.
Wait a second. Andy will give it to you.
Yeah, you might need 5 minutes, but you'll get it. It'll be in my bowl.
All right, webradiopatriots.com. Eric's here.
Andy will give it to you. He can't let that sit.
No, he can't. He always has to have the last word.
What do you got?
Have a practice.
Got,
Welker not on the field because he's not on the roster.
Conley,
that's
still
it.
Still not out there?
Dan Conley still not out there.
The only guy who's hurt.
You know what's funny about that? We had Welker get hurt, obviously, early in the game. Then Aiken and Conley got hurt in the second half. But Conley kind of walked off, and we all said to him, well, he looks all right. We didn't even write it down in our notes.
Yeah.
And now here we are. He's the only guy.
Actually, right. You know, I'm not saying that anything hinges on Dan Connolly,
but
now
guy.
You lose that fullback
yes.
option that you had.
It's a guy.
So Wes Welker's replaceable, but Dan Connolly.
What
the
did I miss in
over.
The last 35 minutes?
No, I just
way.
Don't want people to just say, oh, Dan Connolly is nothing. He has a role on this team on an everyday
but
basis.
But you yell at me because I think they're going to lose because they lost Wes Welker.
But did I just
Kyle
say
Kyle
they were
going to
lose because of Dan Connolly?
How many what?
See, this is the problem with you, Andy.
No, but you're emphasizing it.
More than I expected.
You're de-emphasizing Welker's loss and emphasizing Connolly's.
Did I just emphasize it?
Yes,
I'm
you
just
did.
Pointing
you did.
Out.
You brought significant attention to it.
You're an idiot. You really are.
Fat mouth.
Really?
Fat mouth.
It's just unbelievable.
Why do you continue to apologize for this team, Fred?
Hey, don't worry about Dan Connolly. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that he's out. Doesn't matter.
Kyle Arrington has been active for 8 games this year.
He has like 622 special teams tackles.
He led
we
the
should
team.
Tell Tacoma. Yeah. Tacoma, the bridge is still empty.
Co-team leader with Pierre Woods in
and
special
a very nice
teams
man.
Tackles.
Very nice man.
I think that's pretty impressive in half the games.
Sure.
So, well, I mean, you want to make a big deal out of Dan Connolly and the fact that you don't have a fullback.
So do they have
the
that in the release, that he averages 2.4 special teams tackles per appearance
no,
or
I
something?
I don't think so. As a matter of fact, McGinnis. I only found out from reading Mike Reese, who, you know, keeps track of that sort of thing.
Anything else, Eric?
No.
That's
you
it?
Got nothing?
No. We're only allowed to watch stretching. What do you want from practice?
I don't know.
That's
yesterday I learned that the coaches were yelling playoffs. And
yeah, well, you learned illegally that they were yelling.
Did you turn anybody in about that?
Beg your pardon?
Did you turn that into anybody?
No. And we don't do that. We're
better
than
not
that.
Like that.
Well, they do it to us.
I know. And
yeah,
we're
but
better
we,
than that.
Right. Two wrongs don't make a right.
I'm ashamed that you'd even ask that question.
I'm a vindictive sort.
I am,
yes,
too.
No.
Oh, Paul believes in a level playing field.
Yeah.
Right?
We're not allowed to provide...
Right.
Flavor and insight that others are.
Right.
I don't think that's fair.
That's not fair.
I don't know if those people
that's
weren't
not
reported.
Fair.
Maybe somebody else did.
Oh, you brought Fred a sandwich? Is that Eric? That's for you. It's an Italian.
Where'd you get that?
Next to the other.
I didn't see
did
that.
Did you not look at those big trays full of sandwiches?
They weren't full of sandwiches, Andy. It was empty.
Did he poop that out his butt and get
I didn't,
to you?
I didn't see that. That must
I didn't
have been
even see
else.
Andy move.
All right, so Eric's got nothing
a big
for
olive.
Us.
Can I eat that olive?
That's a big olive.
You can eat that olive?
Eric's got nothing.
That's what
he just
said.
Knocked over the sandwich, a triple decker sandwich. And Eric knocked it over.
It's still good.
Five
Thank you, doctor.
Effect. TJ Perillo would have eaten that no problem.
All right.
Oh God, yeah.
We got some emails dessert? To get to. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is Kevin from Reading, who brought us Chinese.
Good,
food.
Kevin.
Yep.
Hey man, how's it going?
We're doing
hey,
good,
Kevin.
First thing, Jim Harbaugh. I think the guy is drastically overrated as a coach.
I agree.
Now,
Stanford's never done anything.
Jim or John?
I think Jim is overrated.
The Stanford coach
he
or the Ravens coach?
He big jobs, and he's had like one winning season.
The Ravens coach.
John.
John, yeah.
I didn't realize he was rated.
Well, all this year, first of all, he's a rah-rah guy, so I think a lot of fans, you know, we'll call them uneducated fans, they like
Patriots
that.
Fans, we can call them.
I would have thought. That was Paul. That was
of course.
well done, Kevin.
Just jokes.
A lot of fans like that. I'm not, you know, I really don't, like, I don't care if the guy's rah-rah or he's sitting over there in a coma, almost like you see Bill sometimes.
See, I agree with you on that, Kevin. I don't need a rah-rah coach.
I could care less about that.
Not a rah-rah head coach, anyway. I agree with that, too.
Know, Tom Landry was one of the best coaches, and he never was
Chuck
like that.
Chuck Knoll, Tom Landry.
If you want your special teams coach to be running around like a lunatic, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
My coordinators can be a little tapped, but I don't want my head coach being running off
Josh McDaniels.
Wild. Yeah, no, Fred, isn't that something I agree with you about from the beginning?
Yeah.
He's too emotional. He's going to have to get that in check.
Right.
I agree with you on that. I just didn't agree with that he shouldn't have been happy after winning the game, like you said.
It just seemed to me like all year the Ravens have been making these stupid plays, getting penalties for it. And then you see after the game, you see John Harbaugh not make, you know, He comes right up to the line where he says,
yeah.
"Well, yeah, those that you know, making excuses, saying, oh, that was a BS call, or this, that, or the other thing." It, all year they did that. So when you know, and no knock at Eric, I sat next to him last week. He seems like a very nice man. But yesterday, when I'm listening,
you lying your ass off.
Yesterday, when I'm listening to the podcast and the way him and Andy were talking about this Ravens team, I don't think they're that good. I think the Patriots will beat them by 10 points, to be honest with you.
I think we were arguing, Kevin, more that not that the Ravens were that good, but that the Patriots were that bad.
Well, I view the Patriots as a team any given day, maybe certainly less now that Welk is there, they could go out and beat somebody. But, for instance, the Ravens aren't that good, so in my mind, they'll probably beat them by a touchdown, 10 points. Now, going into San Diego or going into Indianapolis, as a Pats fan, I'm terrified of that. And if they would actually to be able to beat San Diego in San Diego, to me that would be as big of an upset in playoffs as probably any I can remember in Patriots history.
Wow.
That's the level, like, because I actually think San Diego is that good. I think they're that good offensively. Defensively, I think they're kind of a mediocre team. But the problem with the Patriots I see is if San Diego, like they did a year ago, where they just basically Rivers goes back five steps and chucks it down the field, and every time he does that, they're making a catch, almost like what you saw with New Orleans this year. You know, that terrifies me. But this coming game, you know, they don't scare me. Like, Derek Mason is their only dangerous receiver. They get no receivers. They can certainly kill you on the running game, but I think if a Will Fork or Warren are coming back, I think you can kind of mitigate some of that.
Well, Kevin, here's what scares me most. You laid out your thoughts there. What scares me most is that even if the Patriots get up by 10, 14, 17 points,
game's over.
I'm not against
this offense, the game's over.
Yeah, I'd like to think that, but what I've seen all this year, I get nervous now when they have a lead. I don't have any confidence that they're going to hold on to it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be like in the past and have my whole, you know, Fred showing an infomercial with the guy getting hair plugs and, you know, for me as I'm talking.
It looks good.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, it looks awful.
There's the guy swimming with one hand on his head and the other hand.
He is not. Look at him. Wow.
He's got
a rack on his head.
Fred, I just learned a lot about Fred. There was a big boobed bikini, and Fred was looking at the guy's hair plugs. But, you know, what are you going to do? I certainly wouldn't feel, you know, 100% comfortable like I would have 3 or 4 years ago with a 17-point lead. But Baltimore is not coming back from a 17-point lead. I agree with that. Kevin, the one thing that I would disagree a little bit about, I think you're either overestimating the Patriots or underestimating the Ravens, because I think they're the same team. And I think if you look at the way their seasons have unfolded, I think that you've seen a ton of close games that could have gone either way. And when it was all said and done, there was a one-game separation between the two teams. I don't think there's a whole lot to choose from. I give the Patriots the edge on a couple of factors: home field, better quarterback, better coach, more experience. I think those kind of intangible factors definitely favor the Patriots. The Welker injury is already being used as a rallying cry. You saw Kevin Falk yesterday. Yeah. All you guys.
Very edgy.
Not to some people.
Where is he seeing this? How does Bill do it? Bill is amazing. How does he do it? I haven't read it anywhere that the Patriots have no chance to win this game. How does he convince them? It's not fake either. He convinces them that no one thinks they can win.
Maybe they were listening to this show.
Except for you two bozos that don't think the Patriots have any shot in hell.
The thing about this game, though.
And also, by the way, San Diego is a team, Kevin, that you have a lot of respect for and scared the hell out of you, and I agree. I totally agree with everything you said. Baltimore went to San Diego and won. It was a long time ago, but they did. It was before San Diego had sort of established itself this year. But they did it. They went out to San Diego and won the game. We certainly wouldn't be dismissing that win if the Patriots had done it back in week two or week three, whenever it happened.
Yeah, that was, I think, week three, because I went back last night. I looked at Baltimore's their schedule.
That's their only quality win of the year.
I think they beat Pittsburgh, too.
And they beat him with Dennis Dixon playing quarterback, too.
Oh, that's right. But you got to remember, the first four games of the year, I forgot when the Patriots played them, But everybody was, when the Ravens came in, they were like, oh, my God, this team's throwing the ball.
They were undefeated, right?
Well, they were 3-0, and they were doing it in a different way. They were throwing the ball. That's why people were like, wow, this is a different Ravens team.
And, they haven't, and they really haven't done it that way since that Patriots game.
Well, they stopped because Ray Rice had such a big game against the Patriots, they decided to change their offense and put more of the focus there and stop. As you said, Kevin, they just don't have the receivers to play the way they tried to play.
Yeah, so
if they had Moss and Welker, they would be playing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Flacco's good enough to do that, I have no doubt in my mind. It's the receivers that stopped them from playing like that.
And this game, I think the home field, which the Patriots have played well at home all year, plus the fact that it is the game after Welker, and Bill might be putting them in this, you know, putting them in a mindset of you against the world. I think it could, you know, I think plus I think the Patriots are better. Not significantly better, but I think they're the better team, plus the home field, plus this, you know, us against the world mindset. I would be surprised if this goes down to the last minute of the game for the Patriots to win. One last thing, Paul.
Yeah.
Instead of doing the complete shave, have you thought about doing the one or the two, you know, the real tight clip?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to shave it all the way down. I'm not going to bick it.
That's what I do, and what happens is that sucker, if you don't like it, just give it a while, it'll grow right out.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm gonna do once the playoffs are over and I don't have as many TV things to worry about.
We're gonna do it on the air.
I did see that before I left yesterday. That emailer, the woman who took a rocket shot at me, about the camera angle from the back.
That was good.
I read that one before I left, but that's what I'm talking about.
Kevin, what do you think? Should we do an on-air head shaving?
Absolutely.
It's not happening on air, so shut up.
Why? Video
it,
podcast.
It could be just like the kicking contest.
Oh, right. Oh, he turned that around on you quick.
Exactly.
You can donate the hair for charity. There's like those.
Yeah, I'll donate my hair for Locks for Love.
For what, an ant?
That's not a lot of love there.
If we could wait another 18 years, I could have enough hair to do
You'll
that.
You'll be dead before you'd have enough hair.
Oh, jeez.
All right, man.
Now he's predicting your ultimate decline.
Thanks, Kevin.
Well. Yeah.
All right.
We're all headed there at some point.
You're the one who said he looks like Homer
Redding.
Simpson if he
shaved his head.
Got a
lot of emails. We're going to get to him right after this.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football shaped serving trays.
The Patriots.
Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
You know, our Patriots Football Weekly writers here, we do the program before this one on our little radio empire here. Our editor is a staunch defender of this team, certainly a staunch defender of Tom Brady in particular, as you might expect him to be. But there is a pretty good balance, I think, in terms of the weighing the positive versus the negative. Let's put it that way. I don't think anybody here is a terrific Patriots apologist, but he has been steadfast in his opinion that Tom Brady is fine, that Tom Brady has always been fine, and that it has been our perception, just as you suggested, that has caused all this big question mark to hover over Tom Brady's head. And so I'm sure Fred Kirsch would be very, very happy to hear you say what you've just said about Tom.
Well, Fred's a smart guy.
All right. Well, you heard it from Trent Dilfer.
Yeah. Another bald guy on television.
I don't know. Is that good or bad that he called me a smart guy?
Paul, how do you describe Trent Dilfer?
Clown.
That's not the word you used upstairs.
Well, I swore upstairs, I'm pretty sure.
No, boob is not a swear.
You called him a boob.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's what you called. Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure I used another adjective.
You might have been thinking it, but I don't think you
Although
did.
Although he did, in fairness to Trent.
I don't know, you called a team a bleep bum
and
the
I'm
other day.
And I'm trying not to do that twice in the same week.
What was the word before boob?
I believe I dropped an F-bomb before that.
Oh, well, yeah, but you described him as a boob.
In his defense, like he did make boob. Me laugh over the weekend. They were talking about the Ravens, and they were going down, you know, showing, I think they ran for like 245 yards against Oakland. And he goes, and you look, this is like the old Ravens here. And he goes, you know, I'm looking at the stats, 245 yards rushing, and Dilfer went 11 for 18. I mean, Flacco, and he, you know, he was not afraid to make fun of himself, which I liked.
And he's clean shaven up top there, Paul. Gives you hope for television.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
Did he bick it? He bicked it, right?
I think he bicks it, yeah.
He didn't know what that meant until yesterday. I said, he's not going to bick it, Fred. And he's like, bick it? What's that mean?
Oh, you never heard that expression?
No, I never did.
He prefers to say...
is that not like a...
Gillette it.
Oh.
Gillette it.
Yeah. But is that... I mean, that's
mainstream.
That's
mainstream. Very, very mainstream. Yeah. I mean, it has nothing to do with the type of razor. It's...
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a Band-Aid.
You're not using a razor.
Band-Aid.
Right. Like I could see Will saying to me, why do you say bick it that when you didn't use a bick?
Right.
Because he just, you know, he's in that Y phase. Everything is Y.
That's okay. All right. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Rich was very involved yesterday.
Rich, what did you do to poor Eric?
He says, Eric, today after having disagreed with you, you asked, what? I'm not entitled to an opinion? Of course you are. I've paved a way for you to humbly get back on the ship, and you politely turned it down. That's fine. Today, when highlighting that fact, you responded with, I'm not out. I've given them a 1% chance. So now you're saying
say that.
That.
Idiot.
He has it in quotes.
Why we got to? Why did
he? Because this guy's an idiot.
What
Eric.
Happens to this show?
So now you're saying
anybody who sends
say that,
multiple
let me
comma,
finish the email
dick.
Before you. So now name. You're saying that no matter what happens, you'll be right. No one is crowning our team winners
idiot.
Or champions going into the new season. You've crowned them losers, and you and Andy were both very passionate about being right again today. You highlighted that history means nothing, and then you mentioned 21 points in the fourth quarter against Houston, and then almost every other thing.
Oh,
that
that's happened. The same as 2001.
Right.
Last week versus 10 years
and
ago.
In their defense, that's not history.
I know.
That's now.
And then almost every other thing that happened in history that might support your bold predictions. The only reason your comments are disturbing is because you write great articles. Not just that, you do a good job. And of getting and delivering good information.
A good job of getting and delivering information. Fred, that was a...
Nobody goes to practice.
By the Fred reading once again.
No one goes to practice and tells us, Wes Welker, not out there like Eric.
Phonics with Fred.
I respect your work, as surely many others do. Why you would give up on the franchise before the season ended the way you did is shocking. I can put out 100 good things and you can point out bad things. That's fine. And you're definitely entitled to any opinion you want. Twice you tried to brush my emails under the carpet and just move on without even addressing them. Am I entitled to an opinion as you are?
Nope. You are, but you're not entitled to have it read on the show.
Two people staring at the same artwork on the wall and having different opinions are one thing. You were employed by the painter, and you say his painting is worthless, but only when he's not in the room. I suppose that is what really bothers me. I'm real sorry that...
Who's in the room?
Fred, how
I
are we going?
I don't
what, do you want him to go down to Mr. Kraft's office and say, knock, knock, no chance, Sunday? Gotta go.
I'm real sorry that the collective best efforts of this team were not to your satisfaction before even watching them play this postseason. At least you'll be right no matter what happens. The rest
never
of
said
us,
that, idiot.
The rest of us
whoa,
may
whoa,
have...
Whoa, he's not going to be right no matter what happens. Because
if the Patriots come out and win, he's wrong.
Especially
right.
if the Patriots win somewhat
right.
convincingly.
By more than
exactly.
a half a point. And, right. I'll come on the show next week and say, sorry, I was wrong. And you're going to lose this week at San Diego?
The rest of us may have... the rest of...
Fred claims that's what he's going to do. I almost want them... To win exactly the way Fred says, just to see what next week holds.
The rest of us may have to live with something less fortunate, but that's part of the privilege of cheering for the Patriots and Bill Belichick. Win or lose, I hope you achieve
the
whatever
privilege.
Pleasure you sought from being right, and all the best with
oh,
it.
Boy. Rich, you got to do us a favor, buddy.
He takes the fun
shorten
out of it.
Shorten the emails.
It's the privilege.
Shorten the emails, man.
The privilege.
Because we have to endure Fred reading your emails. Not that your writing is too long. It's that we have to endure Fred reading it. So please,
I believe Eric has hosted this show before.
Yeah.
And that the general comment was it was never worse, and mostly because of him reading the emails.
No, that's not true. You're making up stuff now.
No, I'm not.
I don't think that was why.
No, I'm not. You just don't like Eric.
I believe it was accurate.
That's probably more.
I believe it was accurate, but I don't think that was why.
Although he does get a lot of praise for hosting Inside the Playbook.
Well, because it's all about who you're surrounded by.
Right.
There's a poll question on NFL Network, MVP, and Favre is leading. You have to be kidding
that's
me.
That's atrocious. If that doesn't prove NFL fans are stupid, I don't know what does.
Wow.
Brett Favre.
So you're on board with Paul now.
No,
Patriots fans are NFL fans. Yeah, but he's including them in the
well, if they're,
the
they're going to make that kind of statement, my God.
Wow.
Got to turn my back.
No, Patriots fans think
Brett
Brady
Favre
was the MVP.
Officially drop out
yeah,
of
exactly.
MVP contention with his little swan dive?
Yeah,
he
I would think.
He should have.
I mean, I know he had a great game to finish, and he had a great second half of the game they lost against Chicago, but...
I didn't look. What were the other numbers?
It was very close.
Breeze was like
26,
14,
23, 20, 22. Yeah. It was very close.
Peyton Manning is the MVP.
I think Chris Johnson is, but he's not going to win it.
Well, again, the value to the team. What did they do with that?
That's not the criteria for me.
To me, it is.
What happened? You mean you had the opportunity.
Look, you have problem with comeback player. I have problems with MVP.
No, and listen, and you're not alone. A lot of people do.
Right.
A lot of people have that same problem that you talked about. But I think that the flaw in that is – Peyton Manning left the field, and you saw Curtis Painter go on, and you saw what happened.
Right.
We didn't see what would happen when everybody else left the field, so we don't know how valuable everybody else is.
When Brady left the field, they went 11-5.
When you take it from a strict point of, you know, semantic value, you don't get the chance to see how valuable everybody is. That's why I don't think that's fair.
It isn't fair, but the thing is, the goal of being a team in the NFL is to win games and get to the playoffs, and Peyton's value help them do that, while Chris Johnson is no doubt the most valuable player on that team, didn't help them do that. So that's why Manning gets the
listen,
edge.
If Manning wins, I certainly think it's a good pick. I think he's been great. I think it's, in a lot of ways, been his best year ever. So I would have no problem with that. I think Tennessee might have gone 0-16. How's that sound?
But the problem with Johnson is it blew up when Vince Young came back. They started winning games, so he was already there. So it looks like Vince Young is the key.
Yeah.
There's a good argument for the ignoring
the value,
value
factor.
Part.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So anyway, Gary
has the best year. To
why
me, is
why
the
didn't
MVP?
Somebody just say the 2008 NFL best player? Why doesn't
well,
somebody just say best player
well,
award?
That's fine, but that's a different award.
No, I know, yeah, but just make it the best player. Yeah,
but it's not
it's
an
like
award.
The Heisman Trophy Award.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not about value.
Right. No, it is about best player.
But that's
it
what they,
about value.
But that's how they pick it.
Right. I don't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
Yeah, they
well,
do.
Then they're wrong.
A losing team never gets it. It's you know.
Well, because right. of the value. Or anyway.
Right. Exactly.
It's college football's outstanding player.
No, but in your
that's
way,
what it's supposed
if
to
it
be,
was
right.
just
it's not
if,
how they
if it was simply the best player, then a losing team could be in the a guy
it
in a
should
losing
be.
Team
well, a guy,
could be in the running.
A guy in a losing team has won it before, but
right.
generally
it was
now
decades ago,
in
wasn't
the
it?
Modern era, that's how they pick it.
Because right. they're judging
the best player on the best team is how they pick it now.
Yeah.
If you end up finishing like, you know, eight I don't know, Ricky Stanzi, the guy for Iowa. He, you know, they lost two games at the end of the game. So forget. I mean, not that he was a Heisman candidate because he wasn't. But
if he were,
he would never had.
Yeah.
He would have never had Jimmy Clausen. Jimmy Clausen had an unbelievable season for Notre Dame, but they lost too many games, so he's out. And I don't think that's right.
In a value, in a MVP, I think it is right. In a best player, it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I just think it's the same thing. But I agree with you. A lot
but the Heisman
of,
is the Heisman isn't an MVP. The Heisman is a best
right.
player.
And he's saying and he, in an MVP, right. you should be eliminated if you don't
right.
win.
And they eliminated him because of his team.
Right. I don't. That's not fair.
Things.
That's not fair.
Like did like Manning and Breeze? You know, Manning left the game and there was such a big difference. Breeze left the game and there was just as big a difference. Is he not as valuable to his team?
Yeah, you can make the case there for Breeze, no doubt. Gary is in Virginia Beach, but he was born and raised in Massachusetts, he says.
Good to hear.
He says, a quick, hopefully, revisit of the topic discussed at the close of yesterday's show.
My it won't
view,
be quick.
I ask myself the question, why has Wes Welker been so productive this year? And my answer keeps coming back to the fact that no one else has been, save Randy and rookie Julian on a consistent basis. Tom just doesn't seem to be using all the receivers, and the reason are his to answer. Without Wes, the team must evolve or failure is imminent as the team is different and not as productive without him using current game planning. The running backs are back and must prove to be a force to be reckoned with, whether running or catching the ball. I'm sorry, but I have no confidence in the secondary, especially after Indy and, yes, Houston. Anything can happen, but I hope the secondary can prove itself and others step up and either get open or make catches, more than two a game, or we are done or two and done. So... I think all that, you can't argue with any of that, right? They got to step
right.
up.
And yeah. everybody assumes they're two and they're done.
Even
same
Brett.
Game. Right.
Although I'm mean, looking forward to next Tuesday's show.
No, but I mean.
No.
If
they,
I don't think
Andy,
the argument is this Andy, week. If you think they're not good enough, say they're not good enough this week.
Andy, if they
I
win.
I think there's no chance that he pulls the trigger on this next week
oh, no.
when they're ready to go to San Diego.
I doubt that if they win this week that people who listen to the show will say that they're going to lose to San Diego.
Well, yeah.
You'll get
Fred
the emotional
will say it Sunday
swallow.
Night,
oh,
but
yeah.
by Tuesday at
oh, yeah,
noon.
The Patriots are peaking,
no,
the Chargers
I'm
are on
I
the
think
other
you're
end.
Under. I'll give you the storyline already
about,
for next week.
No, but forget about Sports Talk Radio. I think you're underestimating the listeners to this show. I think that they're pretty level-headed. I think we get a lot of negative emails and a lot of people who don't have faith in this particular team.
Yeah, but when
I'll
it comes down to when it comes down to picking them, I think most of them. Or like I used to be, where I used to just pick the
up until last week.
All this negativity that's in this town sucks.
The storyline for next week is no one thought we could win in 06
right.
either.
Right.
And we
well,
beat them. So
right.
that, well. I'll tell you right now, that's what it'll be. Despite the fact that it's a totally different team. Both teams.
Right.
Yeah, I
totally
think Rivers is better. And I think
Chargers are much better than they
Vincent
were back
Jackson
then.
Is better. Vincent Jackson cost them the game single-handedly.
Bo?
In San Diego.
In 06?
Yes.
No, Bo doesn't make plays like
now,
that.
Now, if he drops eight passes this game like he did that game, they might lose again because their defense is very average, mm-hmm. San Diego.
Alex in Edmonton says, hey, guys, and B-Lo. I didn't know he was here. What with Paul's infinite wisdom is Patriots and NFL history and lore. I don't know what it is.
Just read.
Can any of you guys or B-Lo remember any situation like this whereby an offensive starter went down to injury the week before the playoffs? All week I haven't heard any comparisons to any previous examples or similar situations, and just wondering if anyone can remember one off the top of their head and what the result was for that team. And thanks, guys, and let's get Eric some men in 2010. Oh, that's a new one. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I see what that
is. Oh, no, no. No, Fred.
It's a good logo. Slogan.
Slogan.
Logo slogan.
Paul? I can't recall well, off the top of my head.
Carson Palmer went down early.
In reverbing through the mic, Eric.
So close.
Stop it.
Can you please stop that?
Stop it.
I think Eric would like you to stop reading stupid stuff like that at the end of emails.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. The defender of Eric, Andy Hart.
Hey, Andy's nothing.
Shocker.
Fair and impartial. I can't really. Andy's right. I mean, Carson Palmer went down in the first play playoff game.
Close enough.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
And by the way, that their playoff
they lost
season lasted another three.
They
plus
didn't
quarters.
Have a week to practice with Julian Edelman,
and they were doing well in that game too.
They were up 17-7 without Palmer.
Right.
But they lost.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's think of a receiver. Any receivers?
No,
because most of them rest in that game.
I can't think of
one. Yeah.
I don't know off the top of my head, but
there's got to be one.
I mean, sure, you know, if you want to talk, you know, there's been cases where, like, Craig Morton came in, I think, for Denver and led them to a Dallas had one where.
That was during the playoffs, though, wasn't
no,
it?
No, it was in the season.
Craig Morton was Denver's quarterback in 77 when they went to the Super Bowl.
No, but I think when he was with Dallas.
They used to alternate.
Yeah.
Oh.
Him and Staubach actually used to go back and forth.
Oh, how about Greasy and Morrill?
Earl Morrill came in, and they did well with Morrill.
Right.
But that was during the season. It wasn't like right before the playoffs started.
Yeah, he broke his leg because Greasy came back for the Super Bowl.
Right. Sims went out.
I think he actually went in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Sims went out, and he got replaced by Hostetler.
That's another point about that team that I think is a little underrated.
Yeah, that's
that perfect team. No one ever thinks of them, the 72 Dolphins, as the best ever, even though it's the only undefeated team. They won the majority of their games with their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yep. But it didn't happen right before the playoffs, so I can't think of it.
The Sims-Hostetler thing happened, November, December?
It was early enough where Hostetler played a number of games.
He got hurt, I think, in the 11th game, and they ended up going 3-3 down the stretch.
Yeah.
Something like that, I want to say. And then they ended up winning it all.
Yeah. So.
But the last game, you know, for the Patriots, the whole and I'm surprised this hasn't really come up. Rodney got hurt in a similar situation.
That's
true. In Tennessee. In a meaningless game.
Yeah.
Where they could have been resting, and that hasn't really been brought up a whole lot.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. Matthew writes in, and doesn't say where he's from, or does it? No, it doesn't.
I don't know. You're the only one who can see it.
The horse isn't dead. It's beaten to a pulp. Fred's point that the team is better now versus week four is somewhat valid. Listening to PFW back then, I heard a lot of criticism of Tom's rust and how the team wasn't together yet. Wes was just back, and our defense hadn't improved. One might argue that the new improved
still
defense,
hasn't.
Now with veteran communication skills,
just
gave up a big-ass lead last week, but without Wilfork, I think the Texans game was a purely experimental one. When Welker got hurt, the game plan didn't change much. It wasn't about the win or loss, but getting reps with the new lineup. To argue that, Fred was saying that the team is better without Wes Welker is lame. That is not what he was saying. He was saying this team is playing better.
Making fun of you.
That's right.
I know.
They're idiots, just like Fred.
He was saying this team is playing better than it was in week four, and that is certainly arguable. Also, the term button hook, as in I button hooked you, should be used no more than once a week.
Who's this a-hole?
Welcome to reality, fellas. Going into the playoffs with Tom and Bill might not mean what it did in 07, but we have a chance, and that's all we can hope for. All in all, satisfied with Tom's comeback season. If we beat the Ravens, anything after that would be gravy. Also in the gravy category, Colts choke and the Jets choke. San Diego, I don't know. Never count out their ability to puss out in the big game. You can get LT2s, the ice packs prepped and ready in the fridge. Too bad for us that they don't need him to win anymore. Too much arguing is not good for you. Find some peace in your life.
I get your peace right here.
So. That was an amazing play in the Celts game last night.
Yeah.
Wow.
You see
Radio
that,
Eric.
Eric doesn't listen to the emails anymore.
No, not when they're making
against
it.
Well, I listened to that one. And I'm with you, Freddie. Yeah. I think it is arguable that the improvements made on offense all around, you know, sort of offset the loss of Welker.
Yeah. What are the improvements?
I think Brady is 1,000 times better now than he was.
That's the only one.
Well, that's a huge difference. I think that somewhat offsets the loss of Welker.
You don't think Vollmer is maybe an upgrade?
Yes, yeah. I do think he is, but I think that's the offensive line, and I don't think the offensive line has been a problem all year. I really don't.
I think Brady's growth to lose his top receiver is totally washed away.
Mm. It could be, but he, you know.
I mean, this is a team we were talking about,
you know, weeks ago,
not having an identity
and
grinding out wins and scoring 20 points.
I think part of the problem with Brady this year, not that he hasn't played well, but you know, this focus on
Wasson Melker
is the fact that for good reason, he doesn't have confidence in these other guys. And I think that for this game, he's just going to have to let that go and say, look, I've got to do what I have to do, get back to spreading it out, and if they don't catch it, I just can't take that on myself.
But is that good? That's Andy and Eric's point.
Yeah, is that good? I don't know.
I'm not sure that's good.
I don't think it's good, and I think he needs to be handing off a lot more to.
Well, he's got
to
do that.
So the screw it, I got to throw to Slater theory is what you're going with.
Let me ask you this, Andy.
Aiken, Watson, Baker, Falk, Morris.
Falk don't include because Falk is great.
Yeah,
and
Falk,
he always
I have
plenty of confidence.
I'm saying all those guys are going to have to catch passes.
Well, I don't think that's true, and I think if that happens, that's check in the passing game for Baltimore.
You don't think those
guys won't beat you?
Well.
And again, I agree with Andy. Don't count Kevin Falk
in that.
Falk is a constant every week. You know he's going to make
plays.
Look,
on third and six, if Chris Baker's wide open, I hope Brady's going to have the confidence to just give him the ball.
He's wide open, but he hasn't been all year.
Third and six, there's a linebacker running with him. Will he throw the ball?
There seems to be – and listen, maybe I don't know this, but there seems to be this opinion that Brady has ignored wide-open guys all year to force the ball to Mawson Welker.
Yeah, that hasn't been the case.
And I don't know if that's the case. I don't think it is.
Well, I remember on a couple occasions where he's looked on one side of the field, you look on the other side,
right,
and it's a design play, but guys are just wide open.
Right, but that's also part of the design of how things unfold. I think you can get caught on TV of saying, you know, in some, you know, ex-washed-up NFL offensive lineman, Randy Cross, maybe, I don't know. Tom really missed, Matthew Slater over here. There's a reason for that. You know, I mean, that's, you know, everything is over here, and I just think that you can very easily get caught up in that game. I used to do it all the time. You know, I used to get frustrated. Oh, my God, he was wide open. How did he miss him? Well, he missed him because everything is designed to go over here or to do something else. He's looking at a
different. And he didn't get that far in his
Even if a guy is breaking open deep down. Remember the Michael Matthews play in Denver?
Yes.
It's easy to miss that guy, right?
That one hurt. Mm.
It's easy to miss that guy when that's the last thing. You're not even looking at that segment of the field. And Brady ended up seeing him late and almost got it to him. But that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes a guy looks like he's wide open, but it's kind of by design, both sides, offensively and defensively, to go somewhere else. So I think that you get lost in that. But I want to ask Andy a question.
He's just got diarrhea of the mouth.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You interrupted yourself three times at that point. I missed you were talking about something. And Mike Matthews.
I missed the last hour yesterday.
Okay, go.
I have time to make up for. How many? Give me your prediction of how many catches Julian Edelman will have in this game.
Julian Edelman will have 9 receptions.
I would tend to agree with that. I would tend to agree with
I was going
to
say 8 or 9.
And I just don't think that it'll be this, you know, we're going to get, you know, 12 for 130 from Welker, and we're probably best we can get is like 5 for 48 from Edelman. I think it'll be reasonably close.
I think the key is Fred's thing. If Moss has 6 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown, I think they have a very good chance of winning.
I think they win.
I have my doubts that they get that.
I think if Moss gets in the end zone, they win.
Because I think Greg Madison, is going to say, Moss ain't beating me today.
I can't wait. Sean says, I usually like your outlook, Fred, but wow, it was hard to follow you yesterday. I wonder if you're even watching the games as I am.
I missed it.
Yeah. Who was the guy? But tell Matt to maybe listen to the show like this very obvious and acute listener did.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. I would love more than anything.
Acute, focused on the points, not just the blah, blah, blah that Fred likes to spew.
Or as Eric says, acute, meaning acute, you know.
Andy said it.
Are you actually trying
to say... I don't
know
where we're going here.
Do you mean astute?
No, I meant acute.
No, acute.
Like,
okay.
Really, like, focused in.
Like,
less
than 90 degrees? I don't know.
No. Isn't there, like, an acute awareness?
Yeah, acute awareness. Right, it's very focused,
Don't try to correct
look
me.
Look at the scoffing look I get from the boss.
Why? What'd he do?
By the boss, I mean Doc.
By the boss.
Well, you're one of his staff.
We all were.
Suddenly, I'm the only one who can't make lame geometry jokes.
Will you be giving us our reviews this year?
You all get raises.
Yeah.
Oh, I like you.
I would love more than anything for the Pats to win this game and push forward, but I don't see it. I don't see that this team has improved much since the beginning of the season. It looks like it's about the same. The same problems on defense exist. The only thing that looks like it has improved is Brady's accuracy. I'm afraid that the Ravens will go into this game with a balanced running and passing attack that will, in the end, score enough points to win. I think they will bait the defense with their running backs enough to open up our already porous secondary. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid that if it's close, The Pats will shut down in the fourth quarter, and the Ravens will do what they need to do. God, I hope I'm wrong. I also think that we are all assuming too much that Edelman will just step right into Welker's role. Bottom line is that he is still a rookie, and the ball will have to be spread around the field, I think mainly to the tight ends.
It's a great email.
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily has to be spread. I mean, if he's getting open, you throw the ball to him. He's proven he can catch the ball. He's had pretty good numbers in the times that he's had significant minutes.
Yeah.
He's open, throw it to him.
Josh from Arlington, after listening to the end of yesterday's show, I think a wager needs to be placed in this weekend's game. Please put your money where your mouths are, Eric and Andy. It is hard to believe you two are ignoring the coaching,
knows where Eric's mouth is.
Ignoring the coaching supremacy of Bill Belichick when compared to Harbaugh. I am floored that not one of you has even mentioned the advantage the Patriots have in the coaching department this postseason. Wow. They don't like him, so what are you going to do?
Wait a minute. You just said something that kind of struck a nerve.
What?
The guy that he's going against has coached three postseason games in his career, all on the road, and he's 2-1. So why are we overlooking him?
Because he's going up against Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Paul's point is, he's been a coach for 2 years. He's been in the playoffs for 2 years. He went to the AFC championship game. His first year.
He's a pretty decent coach.
In the last 2 years, he's 2-1 in the postseason, mm-hmm. while Belichick is about to coach his first postseason game.
Okay. Choose one coach to coach your team in a game.
Belichick is the guy.
Okay, thank you.
But why?
That doesn't mean everybody else is a dunce and can't even roll the ball out there.
You can think Belichick is
advantage in the Patriots side.
Yes,
okay.
I agree.
Yes.
That's all he's saying.
No, he's saying how significant. He's saying it's the other guy doesn't even belong on the field.
Right.
You know what? Yeah, it's kind of funny how.
And you're saying the same thing.
Of course.
That's the only thing I would wonder about. I don't
make
think
me
that,
laugh.
I go with Bill. I mean, we used to make fun of Bill because he always kind of like downplayed all these things. The more we're around him, the more I tend to agree with him about this stuff. It's not going to come down to that. It's not going to come down to who has the better game plan on Sunday. It's not. It's going to come down to who doesn't turn the ball over,
sure.
who executes,
right.
who plays better.
Yes.
And Belichick can't help them do that.
Right.
Why are you just mocking him?
I'm not. I'm agreeing.
You can't talk about football.
I'm agreeing with him.
No, you're not.
Tim writes in. He says,
The Patriots are going to win because they're at home and they're a little bit better at
By
home.
By the way, do you remember how many SPFWs we got ripping Bill for after the fourth and
don't
two?
Want thing I don't want this,
how he's
this
losing
pompous
it,
SOB.
Arrogant.
Right. Pompous, arrogant SOB to ever coach our team again.
Right.
And it wasn't one guy.
Now we'd want no one else.
Tim says, well, that person who sent that email or those guys aren't emailing now.
There are a lot of them.
Yeah,
that was my point.
Well, where are they?
One of
every
them was
every game they lose, they come back.
Well, one of them was Jeff Cabral and emailed in. Sorry, I was a little emotional.
Yeah, I think he even said I might have been drinking a little bit.
I just want to say I've been living in Maryland for the past 15 years, but I grew up across the street from Schaefer Stadium, have been a fan for 46 years.
Wow.
Lived at Rodman?
I was listening to your show yesterday when all of a sudden I thought I had changed the channel to a local station down here. Did you replace Eric and Andy with a couple of Baltimore guys? I think you need to bring in some fans to replace those guys. Yes, Wes Welker is a major loss to the team. If I had a choice, I would want him in every game. But we are still the Patriots, and
so
we're still a good team.
You disagree with that, right, Fred?
Right.
I catch four touchdowns.
I have had the same concerns this year about us blowing leads in the fourth quarter, but if we had a timeout left against the Colts, we review the call and win, and if we win a coin toss in Denver, Brady gets the ball and we win. And if we play like the Texans, like it was a playoff game, we pull out the stops, we win, and are 13-3. That is how close we were to being 13-3, and yet your coworkers are talking like we should just give up. This team has been on and off this season, but when they are on, they can beat anyone. The playoffs
off, they can lose to anyone.
Yeah,
you were just as close to being 8-8.
Exactly.
If you want to use that theory.
Exactly.
The playoffs are totally different. I understand anyone can lose, but part of being a fan is having faith in your team and faith that they would play up to their potential. They only need to put together four good games, and the Cardinals are a perfect example that any team can do that in the playoffs, and we are a much better team than the Cardinals. Let's stop crying about how tough it's going to be. Let's start believing that our team will rise up to the challenge and take it one game at a time. That is what true fans do.
Start the music.
Yeah.
That's above.
Well, look, first of all,
I'm not a fan.
No.
Well, we can't
well,
be
there's
true
no
fans.
Bigger fan than him.
He's
but
you,
but, super fan.
But not, when you're
yes.
doing this.
He's a tough guy.
But when you're
no,
doing
trying
this,
to be
you,
in,
can't,
he
you
didn't
can't
pick
be
against
true
him
fan
for
when you're
20
doing
years.
And,
right. and he has been.
We all know the difference between good teams and bad teams in this league is for the most part,
razor
very
thin.
Very thin.
Bill says it every single press conference.
And the teams
we used to mock them for it.
The teams that are good win those close games and become 13-3. The teams that aren't that good lose those games and become 10-6 and 8-8.
And you know who that is this year? The Baltimore Ravens.
Right. Exactly. And that's the kind of point I was trying to...
In the New England Patriots.
I would argue the Patriots.
But
I mean,
but that's the
two of your first 4 weeks, two home games, you pulled out games that you very easily could have lost.
But,
that would have changed
see,
your
that's
season.
That's what I was trying to make the point to these guys yesterday, that that applies to the Ravens, too.
We didn't disagree
well, that's
with
why
that, Fred.
Did.
And
no,
that's
we didn't.
That's
why I'm with you,
wait,
Fred.
Wait,
that's
wait,
why
Paul,
I think they're going to win.
Wait
you're
a
my
minute.
Pinky.
I know you are.
And make sure you keep
Thank
this
you,
in
Paul.
Mind.
Thank
make sure you,
Paul.
Keep this in mind.
No,
come read the time.
No, don't just keep... You don't listen.
Which is coming up
We agreed with you very much that both teams have warts and both teams are worthy of 10-6, 9-7. But the Patriots got to 10-6 with Wes Welker. They will take the field at 1 o'clock on Sunday
without
him. So don't say they're the same team that was slightly better than the Ravens.
And don't say they're a better team without him.
Well, that you can say if you believe it.
Well, you can
go ahead, Fred.
Be foolish and say it.
Let's see. Who else is here?
The other thing is, Andy and I shouldn't have to apologize for being objective journalists and doing our job.
Stop it. Cry me a river with your objectivity. Both of you. Both of you.
I've been objective for years.
The both of yous.
Just like I told you they lose in Denver.
Let's see.
I'm just because I think they're going to win doesn't mean I lack objectivity.
And the other thing is, has everyone?
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about.
We came into
email.
The season with the expectation they were going to win the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
Yes.
And
odds
said,
on favorite
you know,
in Vegas.
If they win this game, they're 2-done. But it's gravy if they win this
well,
game.
There is.
I mean, where
that portion of the whole mindset is somewhat annoying. This whole it was a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
Vegas.
It
was odds
absolutely
on favorite.
Not.
This was not a transition year.
Yeah. No.
The feeling going into this year. I think by the organization, by the coaches. Now, we know what the experts thought. All the experts thought they were a Super Bowl contender.
Yes.
I think the feeling among the coaches was, yes, we will be transitioning on defense, but that will be offset by our high-powered offense.
And we thought the same thing.
Well, no question we thought, but it doesn't matter what we think.
We're idiots.
It matters what the coaches thought.
Right.
I think that Bill felt we're going to outscore the 12 teams that don't have the offense to keep up with us. And then those other, you know, the Colts,
Joey Galloway.
The Colts and the Saints and a couple of the other games that we play, you know, we're going to have to win slugfests.
Right. But don't you think this kind of gets them off the hook in the historical look back?
Yes,
because
everybody
going to say,
it's
oh, Welker.
Year.
No, I think this injury, because everybody look back, oh, they lost Welker, so they
no,
just didn't
but
have
I think
fire.
Even with Welker, no, a lot
no,
of experts
now,
thought.
Now, but I'm saying when people look back and in 10 years say, well, why did the Patriots, why were they one and done that year and miss a playoff, they're going to say Welker got hurt.
Maybe.
When in reality, I think they were going to be in a dogfight on Sunday either way.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. Let's see. Mario from San Benito, Texas. How's it going?
Give him the Mario test?
This is a bittersweet week for Patriots fans,
What's
given with the looming playoff game, while also dealing with the loss of a player who was 33% of our pass completions and around 25% of our passing yardage.
No, he was nothing. What did he catch, 4 touchdowns?
Even with the loss, it's hard to not be excited anyways. I wanted to ask you guys who you think has been a bigger steal, Moss or Welker. I know that the easy choice is Moss because of the lower pick we gave up for him, but is it plausible that Welker could be the bigger steal because we would have been more involved in the Dolphins' offense than last 3 years than Moss would have with the Raiders? Let me know what you think, and thanks for reading the email.
Moss.
That's a good question.
I think Moss is the bigger steal.
I still think it
I think Moss
we thought they
the
overpaid
steal.
To get Welker
yeah.
when
yeah.
they got him, and clearly they didn't. But
clearly they didn't. I was what, Andy?
Wrong.
Because I was one of the ones that thought they overpaid for Welker.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. John in Dallas is on the phone. John, how you doing?
7482?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Hey, John. Hey, John.
Good. I just got back from the game in Houston. It was the first game I attended since 1985, so I was a little disappointed, to say the least.
What was your last game?
The Jets. 1985, and I forget where the hell it was played, but it was in the old stadium. Schaefer Stadium, 1985?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Or actually, was it Sullivan back then? I think it was Sullivan at that point. But anyway,
I don't remember. Anyway, I was sitting about 10 rows up behind the Pats bench. I had a very clear view of that injury, and, man, I tell you, my gut just turned when I saw him go down.
Yep.
I knew it would be season-ending, and I had no doubts about it. But, you know, guys, I don't know. I kind of go back and forth about this game against Baltimore coming up for this week. But there's a couple – I got a couple questions for you. You know, we heard Brady comment a couple of times about how Welker's injury could make the offense a little bit more unpredictable in terms of the Baltimore game planning. How do you guys think that translates to the field on Sunday? because I'm real curious.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in that. I mean, I think the Ravens know what they're going to do. They're going to take away Randy Moss and say, you're unpredictable. Sure, I don't know who you're going to eat up those other 10, 12 catches with, but I'll take my chances that no matter who it is, he's not going to beat me.
And they're going to blitz Tom Brady heavily.
I mean, I don't even know that.
But that would be a change in their scheme, and I don't think they do that.
I think they're just focused on Moss, Moss, and Moss. Because I don't think they fear the run. I think they have a good enough front where they don't have to overload in any way to stop whatever the Patriots are going to do on the ground.
And if they have to do that, they'll do that. And then if it's becoming a problem early in the game, they can do that.
Right.
And still not really make themselves susceptible.
But I just think they're a good enough run defense, a good enough front.
Yeah, I think so, too. I just don't see anything there that would, I don't think the Patriots are going to pull any, anything out of their bag of tricks there to really confuse the Baltimore defense.
Yeah, I don't understand that theory, really. I mean, he's going to be a slot receiver, much like Wes was. Is he different? Sure, he's different. And what we talked about was potentially maybe the ability to break a big play. Maybe they design a couple plays with Moss over the top, drag a safety, and say, if we can squirt him through, he can take it to the house from 60. Right.
They get one of those picks.
Maybe.
They get one of those picks coming across, one of those rub plays, and all of a sudden he's in the clear. But now he's capable of making guys miss in the open field.
They do it all year long. It's just they have a better potential to hit the big play with.
And that'll be interesting to see how he plays. I think that's a really fascinating facet of the game, aspect of the game with Edelman, and how he, how many plays he's able to make. Not how many catches he's able to make, how many plays he's able to make.
I think he'll have a pretty good game. I think someone said 9 catches. I think that's probably about right. So the question comes down to the quality of the catches, what he can do after the catch, right? Can he produce the same yard after the catch in the Welker can?
And when those catches
when they come, yep.
I tell you, when I watched him on Sunday, I was pretty impressed. I mean,
average is well below even Welker's for the season, right?
Yeah, but that's honestly, the old him. There's no doubt he was 10 times better on Sunday than he was
in week two.
In week two. Yeah. I mean, remember those plays where he was like bobbling the ball and he looked like a deer? And he looked like Matt Cassel when he started, like a deer in headlights. And I thought this week he looked like a guy who knew how to be an NFL receiver.
Pretty good comparison of their season-long growth.
Although the difference is Edelman missed a lot of time. He didn't. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of game reps to do it.
He didn't play to get that experience.
I think he showed us that in the preseason in practice. You'd see him one practice, he'd do something and look horrendous at it.
The
we'd make fun of him in the blog.
And that's
the punt off the face.
Right.
You make fun of him in the blog, and the next afternoon he looks like
Dion. Against the Eagles.
And I think Bill said that. His development, his growth has been far faster than you could really have expected.
I was really hopeful on Sunday. They kept feeding him in that second half, and he did a lot with the ball. I mean, I think if we keep feeding him the same way we have, and the difference, I think, is that he hasn't been a primary threat, right, when Welker and Moss were in there.
No.
Probably looked at him third.
Yeah. I mean, I think on Sunday he was kind of a primary
target. The guy. Yeah. He was the guy on Sunday. He had 5 catches in both halves.
Absolutely. And you saw what he did with it. I was pretty impressed.
He had a good game.
I thought he had a great game. I don't know. I hate comparing Welker and Edelman. I know they're kind of built similarly and they do similar things, but I think he's got a different skill set than Welker. I think Brady talked about it a little bit too. They said that they'll look to him to do some of the things that Welker did, but also take advantage of some of his unique skills. So I'm kind of curious, what do you think those unique skills are? Do they have more straight line speed?
His speed. I think he's more elusive and he's faster.
Yeah.
All right, John. So, thanks for calling.
I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Actually, a quiz. Here's a quiz, okay? What receiver in the NFL has the most yards after catch?
Wes Welker?
I'll just say Welker, but I don't know the answer.
Or
Andre Johnson? When I say receiver, I'm not referring to the position. Let's just say person receiving the ball.
Ray Rice.
9.6 yards after catch. He's only 5 receptions behind Moss this year, total receptions. He's the guy we need to shut down.
That's right.
Well, so contain.
I'll hang up, but if you guys could address how we do that, I'd be really interested in getting your opinion.
That's gonna determine the game, I think.
Yeah, there's no doubt that's the guy. I think if it was just running, it'd be a little bit more simple. You have to worry about him as a pass receiver too. He's the LaDainian Tomlinson of that team,
mm-hmm. and Ronnie Brown. It's
or the Marshall Faulk of that team.
But Cam Cameron went from San Diego, where LaDainian would have 100 catches and 1,000 yards. He went to Miami, and I think Brown got hurt, so he didn't really. Yeah. Peak out, but he had.
But he
was
that guy.
11 weeks into the season, he had 65 catches and was running the ball well. And he goes right here, and it's Ray Rice. That's what that offense calls for. I think it's Mayo.
You know, we've talked about the speed. Ray Rice is going to make plays to the edge and through the air. We need to see that Mayo, who looks like he shot out of a cannon, to get a back at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Aaron from Virginia writes in, hey, Fred, fellas, and Eric, if this is right after 1 p.m., I agree that the Pats find a way to win against Baltimore. I think the Pats' running game needs to have a big day, and the Pats need to sustain longer drives to keep the defense as fresh as possible in the second half, hoping that Watson drops fewer than a half of the balls that thrown his way for a change, and Moss
That's
gets
unfair.
More than five receptions. I think they will do just enough to win at home, and like Andy loves to say, with Brady as a quarterback, we always have a chance.
I do like to say
that. He doesn't say that anymore, though.
Yes, I do.
What I take exception is to Fred saying that the team is better this week than week four. I think that losing Welker is a huge loss. Are the remaining players of the team playing better than they did in week four? Sure, I can agree with that. Is the team better? No way. Welker has been the MVP of this team in 09. Nationally, people who hate the Patriots still love Welker because of what he does. Other than Brady, is any other player more directly involved, more plays during the game? Not this year. I can't let you take anything away from Welker. He is a huge part of the team, and losing him is a huge loss. It kills me that we may have seen his last game as a Patriot.
Well, you haven't seen his last.
You haven't seen his last.
He'll
game.
You may have seen.
He'll be back.
The high level might not. He may never get back there. But.
Can the Pats win? Yes, but it would have been much easier with Welker. Well, I'm not denying that.
Of course.
Anyway, Fred's got a lot of emails, guys. So great show. Talk to you later,
Fred. I'm still with you on the whole improvement from week four thing. I mean, obviously, with Welker, they're a much, much better team with Welker. But I think that you could make an argument that things have come together a little bit better since week four offensively than
I think it's been a roller coaster,
the loss of him.
It's come in spurts, Paul. I think you've had a few weeks they play well, then a few weeks they play badly. Then
but
it
I
goes
think
back
Brady's
the other
been
way.
Pretty good the last several weeks.
Oh, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the team
with
as
the
a
exception,
whole.
But I think that's what we're talking about. Brady wasn't pretty good the first several weeks. I think the last several weeks he's been very good with the exception of Sunday. I don't think he was very good on Sunday.
Let's see. Tim is in Baltimore. He says, as you can imagine, 99% of the sports talk in Baltimore is concerning the refs and their perceived bias towards protecting Tom Brady.
I hope the Ravens are talking about that stuff.
In your opinion, is their concern justified, and is there some statistical proof supporting this? Which quarterback has gotten the most roughing the passer calls? P.S., if the Pats end up winning because of a blown call, I think somebody's going to take a dump in my cubicle.
I don't know the answer to that, but Brady's gotten a lot.
Yeah. Speaking of dumps on cubicles, you heard that the guy from Eagles.com spit on the Cowboys logo.
Yeah.
You guys were telling,
us about that earlier.
The Fred Kirsch of Eagles.com.
I would never do anything like that.
No, but that's who
that guy is. Should we take a poll of our listeners? Do you think Fred would do that? Because they'll say yes.
I wouldn't do that.
Fred had a rational argument.
Paul go out and take a dump on it, though.
Fred had a rational argument against that, though, and that was Fred.
I would do something that might get myself in trouble, but I wouldn't do anything that would get the organization in trouble.
But you're saying that now.
But I think, shed a bad light on the organization.
I think he's right about that.
I've had plenty
I've seen
of
you post-game get really angry and really emotional.
Yeah, but I've had plenty of opportunity
really
to do something
it.
Like that. I've never done it.
Because it's dumb. Nobody's. I mean, he's the only one who has done it.
So,
or at least you
wouldn't
bring a video camera with you while you did it.
I bet Fred wanted to take a swipe at Pelion after the 06 championship. He didn't do it.
He posted the video of him spitting on the
I know
star.
He did.
I'm saying you wouldn't take a video
it's like
camera
those kids
with
who
you.
Bash mailboxes and videotape the whole thing, and the cops find the tape.
It's amazing.
You idiot.
Why are you taping yourself? No thanks, Dave.
Okay.
We like Spudsy, too.
We do. But he did a dumb thing. When a guy does a dumb thing.
It was a dumb thing.
Call it a dumb thing.
You've done a dumb thing.
Let's see. Connor from Ireland. Did you guys watch the repeat of week four game between the Pats and the Ravens? Fred Taylor was a beast. With Maroney taking the carries inside the Pats' 10-yard line and Taylor taking them down there, I think the Pats' running game can stabilize the offense and finally close out a win.
Yeah. Fred Taylor had 25 yards in that game.
Just wanted to know what you thought on the subject. Keep it up, Fred. Your dogged defense of our team. Not anything sinister.
The 100-yard game was against Atlanta, I believe, right?
Yes. Fred Taylor did not have
a
good
game. He got
hurt
against Baltimore, right?
Mm-hmm. He got hurt in that game.
Ended his season until
a couple weeks ago. Yeah. But see, that's the thing. I think that's going to determine this game more than the loss of Welker is the running games on both sides.
Sure,
whichever,
I agree.
Whichever team can run the ball better and has the better time of possession is going to win the game.
But my point is this whole they're playing better because Brady's better. Okay, Brady is better, no question. There is no debate there that Tom Brady is not better now than he was.
Well, wait a minute. Eric said he's not.
Yes, well, leave Eric out of it. He's kind
no,
of an
Fred,
idiot.
Don't say that. Okay. I didn't
okay.
say
all
that.
Right. But all right, all right.
I said
all
he was
through
hurt.
October and November, we said, you know what? The third receiver's going to develop. Edelman will get better. And Taylor's going to come back. Morris is going to come back. The ground game's going to be together. So they'll be a better team in December hitting January. The only problem is we all had Welker in the lineup. We all thought it was Moss, Brady, Welker. Now we're adding in a little Edelman. We got a taste of Taylor, right. A touch of Morris. Now you don't have Welker.
Okay.
So all those gains are totally washed out by the major law.
This what, is surprising
I mean,
to me.
33% of the passing yards and all the numbers the emailer had earlier?
33% of the offense.
But he only scored four touchdowns.
This is somewhat surprising. I remembered them having a little more success on the ground than this, but it was terrible statistically. 7 for 25, by the way, for Fred Taylor. So he was not a beast in that game.
No.
He averaged 3.6. Morris, 6 for 21. Maroney, 7 for 6.
How did they win that game?
Because Mark Clayton dropped the ball inside the 10-yard line.
I didn't say it.
They had.
I didn't say
how
it.
How many points did they have?
21.
27.
Who are you talking about? The Patriots. Patriots had 27.
How'd they get that?
I forgot how they scored in that game, actually.
Well, they kind of detailed it. They fumbled the opening kickoff,
right.
Which led to a field goal.
Right.
They had two roughing the passer calls that
extended
led to two
drives.
Different touchdown drives.
Okay.
On failed third downs.
Okay.
So there's 17 points.
But they still got it in the end zone somehow without running the ball.
No, they ran it in the end zone once. Morris had a 12-yard touchdown.
You know, getting
touchdown.
Down there.
But that's how they got down there.
Yeah.
Is my point. I mean, I've gone through this before with you, and you don't really want to believe it.
Total Brady yards, ran it in for a touchdown also.
Total yards in this game, 363 for Baltimore, 319 for the Patriots. Yards rushing, 116 for Baltimore, 85 for the Patriots. Yards passing, 247 for the Baltimore, 234 for the Ravens. I mean, for the Patriots.
For the Patriots.
First downs, 24 for the Ravens, 25 for the Patriots. The game came down to one play. It was a dead-even game. Neither offense really, I thought, played particularly well, as those numbers would really illustrate.
Yep.
The Ravens defense made a big play to score. The Patriots special teams made a big play for the for the Patriots to score. It came down to one play,
but remember,
and that play had nothing to do with anything other than Mark Clayton.
There was 4 minutes and change. Patriots had the ball up by six. They get a first down.
But they didn't.
And, you know, it was a ball that Brady just clearly overthrew Welker on. And to give the ball back to the Ravens.
But that's what they did all year.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that you could say it came down to that one Clayton drop.
That's what it came down to.
I could say, well, if the Patriots had got that first down, you know.
Right.
If they had done that,
they'd
be a 13-3 football team.
And if the Patriots had gotten that first down in all the other games, I would say, well, that was just the one game Brady made a bad throw. But it happened at least eight times this year.
Right. But what about all the things that happened eight times to Baltimore this
year?
Just that's why.
Just like Baltimore.
He's the best.
Before the possession. This goes back to our argument when you said it was an easy game, and I just rattled off why it wasn't an easy game.
They won easier than I thought they
would.
Which
I just can't still.
On a dropped pass at the end of the game.
Yeah, they didn't win easy.
20 weeks later, I still can't understand, and I just read to you why I can't understand.
What was your argument then?
I just don't
you
know
had
what
an
X thought
point
was going to happen.
With X minutes to go, what was? Remember, you
yeah,
had a specific.
Exactly.
The only thing
remember
I could
that
think
was his
of,
argument. That was his exact defense because I never thought they'd have a 10-point lead with,
right, but
with 12 minutes to go.
But
or
he
something.
Falls back
I
on
did.
The play the Patriots didn't make.
No,
whereas
I know. That's
the Baltimore
what he does.
Before that first down,
and you
down,
fall back on a play that Baltimore didn't make.
And I'll fall back on the play before that on a 4th-and-1 from the 50 where the Baltimore got stopped. That they. Based on the Patriots' defense this year,
but,
they haven't done that very
but
often.
But you can't just say the game came down.
It came down to one play.
That was
it
the difference in the game.
But it was
a bunch of plays.
But you
Fred.
Can do that every game. This
exactly.
play was with 31 seconds
so,
left.
So
it was
no
the
such
end of the
thing.
Game.
Exactly. There's no such thing as a game that comes down to one play then.
Well, at the final result, but when you...
So did the Colts game come down to the field?
The reason why the Patriots won that game was not because Mark Clayton dropped the ball.
Well, to me, it was. Did the Patriots lose to the Colts because they didn't get the 4th-and-2? That's what I would say. That game came down to one play.
They lost. They blew a 17-point lead.
I thought you started the show saying you were going to be on Fred's side to balance this out.
No, this goes back to our Week 4 argument.
No, I know.
I think the
this
Patriots
is the
are going to win.
This is the argument we had yesterday. But this is the argument
they
we had yesterday.
They lost the game in the Colts because they blew a 17-point lead.
They lost the game against the Colts because they went for a 4th-and-2 that they didn't get. If they got it, they would have won. No. Comes down to one play.
No. He's Paul's that's, right.
All
Paul's
football right. games come down
the game
to
was over
a handful of plays.
That's right.
That, and that, that, was, game the, and that was the most important
they game. They lost that game because they couldn't hold on to a 17-point lead.
And they couldn't hold they on to the 17-point lead because they went for right. a 4th-and-2 that they failed to get.
And if they get that, they kneel on the ball. Game's
that's
over.
Game
it comes down to one play.
Way too simplistic.
I understand, but that's the way football is. There's
right.
120 plays, and only five of them really matter.
Every week, every game comes down to two or three plays.
That's like saying a team – you know, that in baseball that came from a 9-run deficit in, you know, the bottom of the ninth, won because of the last guy that scored.
That's why they win.
No.
Because if you get that guy out, the game's over.
But they have to get there.
Thanks.
But it comes down to one decisive play.
The Colts had to have made up that.
So in your opinion, this is a whole philosophical thing.
Yeah,
this one's spiraling out of control.
In your opinion, there's no such thing as a game that can come down to one play.
They come down to one play, but that's not the reason for winning
okay.
or losing.
So you can't come down.
It comes down to a play, but
okay.
that's not the reason right, why
well,
you win or lose.
That's the first I've ever
it's
heard you talk
about. It's a culmination
like
of a lot of
wow.
things.
So the snowball didn't come down to Adam Vinatieri's game.
Every state likes Alabama tonight except for Texas.
The snowball didn't come down to Adam Vinatieri's kick.
That's not the only reason they won.
I know that.
It came down to it. But that's not why the Patriots won that game.
No, I know. Every
what
play,
about the tuck rule? You're not going to put the
yeah,
tuck rule
the
in
the one
there?
Play in that game was the tuck
I know.
Right.
But if he doesn't
came,
make the kick,
I know,
it's all stupid.
But without the tuck rule, he doesn't get to make that
right.
kick.
And that's
but
the
without
play
the kick, you'd never
game.
Hear about the tuck rule.
You know,
no one would care.
So it came down to Vinatieri's kick, but that's not why
okay,
they won
Okay, then
or
every
lost.
Game comes down to the first play of the game, because every play thereafter is built upon that first play.
That's as simplistic as saying it comes down to the last play.
See, I disagree.
You over there, don't scoff at my philosophical arguments.
I disagree.
You jumped right in.
And it's just like you said. Why do they have all these stats in baseball that are based on after the seventh inning or with runners on in scoring position and two outs? Because you're saying every play matters. You can't. There's no play that's more valuable than another.
Oh, of course there are.
No, that's not what he's saying.
Well, third down plays, you know.
No, why? You had to get to second. You got to get to fourth.
You know, crunch time, you know, pressure plays.
What, crunch time, like at the end of a game when the game is on the line
and
you drop a ball
in the red
inside
zone
the
10-yard line?
2-2 in the seventh inning is a lot more, a lot different than 2-2 in the third inning. You know, that's,
well,
it's,
coaches
it's huge,
call games differently in the National Football
they
League
sure do.
In the fourth quarter than they do in
of
the second.
Of course they do.
Because the game is on the line. They know it, just like the game was on the line when Mark Clayton dropped the ball.
Right. But to say that you win or lost because of one play is too simplistic.
Okay.
Well, if you want to be like all philosophical, but the reality is it comes down to that a lot in the National Football League.
It comes down to it, absolutely. I agree with you. It comes down to that one play. You know
that Mark Clayton dropped the ball on the 7-yard. What is he talking
when
about?
When are you going to realize it's a Fred semantics
again,
argument and just cut
again,
your losses?
Right. You know, the snowball right. came down to Adam Vinatieri's kick. It came down to that. But there was a lot of things that led up to that.
Every game is like that.
I can't wait for this week to be over because Fred's really.
You know,
I can't wait until next week when we talk about San Diego.
And my point is, you guys think
the Patriots are going to win.
You know, you guys think that the only reason the Patriots beat the Ravens is because Clayton dropped the ball. It's the only reason they beat them.
That was the most important play of that game. Yes. If he makes that catch, guess what? The Patriots lose that game.
I don't know.
That's how I feel.
I just think that's really
the
simplistic.
Ravens were marching down the field on that last drive. If he
and
makes
they
that catch,
they still would have had to get in. That wouldn't have been a touchdown. They still would have
had
to get in the
end
zone.
They still would have had to get in.
They would have still had to get in. You know what? They would have gotten in.
I think allowing that fourth down conversion.
They would have gotten in.
Yeah,
and by the way, we wouldn't have said the touchdown was why we would have said that he made that catch, right? They hinged on it because the game ended
on that
for them.
You know, but isn't
so
that,
the 3-yard touchdown run or however
isn't
they
that one
it?
Of the reasons why Baltimore Ravens aren't that good a team is because of those receivers?
Yes.
Okay. So that's who I the agree. Ravens are. It's not like Mark Clayton was out of character.
Right, but you know who the Patriots aren't? They aren't the team that gets the stop in that situation based on the rest
of the
season.
And that's why they're who they are.
That's why they're 10-6.
Right.
That's why they've allowed two teams to score 21 points on them in the fourth quarter.
So a team that doesn't get a lot of those stops, this is a good team to go up against, isn't it? Because they don't have good receivers.
And that's why I flip the coin
exactly.
and I come up with the Patriots.
That's
because
what
they're
these
at
guys
home.
Won't give me the benefit
they
of the doubt.
They won't do it, Fred. I don't know what's wrong with them. They won't do it.
I don't know why they won't do it.
When I flipped that coin and Welker was in the lineup,
I
would have
gone with the Patriots.
Well, that has nothing to do with the Patriots' defense.
No, it has to do
with
scoring more points
than
the opposition.
You really
He's got that stupid smirk on.
You're a really difficult guy to align with. I just want to tell you that. You're unbelievable.
All right.
I'm still with you, though, Fred. Those reviews are coming up. I'm with you, my friend.
All right, we got to do picks, right? Who's playing
this?
Oh,
come on. It's 15 minutes. There are 4 games.
Do we know who's playing?
Yeah, we can do it in the last 5 minutes.
We really do only have 15 minutes left.
There are 4 games to pick. We don't need to do
you
that
couldn't
now.
Even name all the games?
Of course I can.
Go ahead, name
go.
Them.
You name them, big
We're asking you now.
No. all of a sudden you're missed a football. You don't even know where the tight end lines are.
Paul, you're missing it. Come back.
What is wrong with
Mr.
you?
Mr. Football over here.
What is wrong with
Name
you?
Name the games.
He still hasn't done it.
Go paint a painting. Oh. Or trace, I should say.
Wow, just no holds barred attacking.
Yeah, Fred's
you.
Really getting personal, but that just shows you when he lost the argument. When he has to get personal, he lost the argument.
Right. Oh, cool. I thought you were a good artist. I lost that one.
Yeah. Well,
these guys
yeah.
convinced me otherwise yeah. years ago.
Look how red he is.
I said you should look at some of this stuff. He's really good. They're like, what are you talking about?
This is just like I said. Mm-hmm. Fred looks, Eric likes to drive in the snow because he can rear end people.
See, I told you he would say
I
it.
Never said it.
I never said it on here.
You said it in the office.
You're both wrong now because you both just said it on the air.
See, I told you you couldn't help yourself.
Wait, I'm not an a-hole. He's an a-hole. He started it. He always starts.
Doesn't matter if he starts it. You shouldn't be jumping in.
That's right, Andy.
I can't help
it. You can't help it.
You should help it.
I can't.
You're a grown man. You're an adult.
adult.
All right, you're a grown man.
You should know. Boy. I got a little wiener.
I knew you.
Well, that's
be able,
grown.
I knew you wouldn't be able to help yourself. That's good. Good, Eric. You didn't let me down. I mean, Andy. You didn't let me down. Where did Paul go, by the way?
He said he had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, boy, that could be.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You want to take a break?
Does it have the handicap rail in there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see. No, we can't take a break. We got 13 minutes.
Why don't we bet
show.
On this game?
Huh?
Can we come up with a wager?
Let's come up with a wager.
All right, you give us 10% raises if
that
you
I
win.
Can that I can actually do.
It can come out of your pocket. It doesn't have to come out of Mr. Kraft.
Did he give you a Christmas bonus?
Yeah, we want a Christmas bonus.
We don't
bonus.
Get anything.
We don't get it. You get Christmas bonuses?
No, not a chance.
Fred was just worried for a minute there. We're trying to come up with a wager, Paul. We want a wager on the game. What can we do?
And that's what we were talking about, Christmas bonuses?
Well, you also you walked out 2 seconds too
Fred
early.
Got all red.
He
and
went
he
off
got
on
personal.
Eric.
Yeah. I heard it. Yeah.
Mr. Football, you don't even know where the tight end line's up. We asked him to name all the games this weekend, and he said, you name all the games.
He did.
The kids come back.
Oh, you're fat. No, you're fat.
Can we come up with a wager?
We should have opened this up early in the show for listeners to – they would have come up with something good. What can we do?
It's got to be something realistic that can be fulfilled.
Oh, I know.
I can't believe we haven't discussed that Willis McGahee straight arm yet.
That's true.
That was unbelievable. I've never seen a guy just get tossed
threw
out
the guy
the
out of the way.
If they
I've
win,
seen guys get trucked before, but not just thrown out of the
if
way.
If the Patriots win, Andy and I have to pick up the tab for dinner in San Diego next weekend.
Okay, and How's if that? Not,
it's your per diem. It's free money.
And Fred and I.
That's why I was all in with Eric.
No, but wait a minute.
Wait, you guys get per diem on the road?
Nope.
All right, we keep our per diem.
Right. I mean, it's still money that you don't have to spend.
Our hand doesn't go into our pocket.
That's what we.
Yes.
Isn't that what picking up the tab means?
I'm fine with that.
Hi-ho, just dinner. Whatever the thing is, whatever our check is that night, so you have to split it.
So we can't order like a bottle of champagne.
Yeah, you can't go crazy.
No.
It's better than our normal.
Listen,
appetizers, dessert, beers. That's not a road you want to go down with him. Yeah. Fat Mouth will start ordering appetizers by the dozens.
I know. He can out-eat all of us.
Right.
Wait, but what if we win, Eric, because we don't go
to
Well,
I know. That's why I'm trying to think of something that could happen.
Well, we'll do it here.
Okay.
Wow, I'm going to have a great January.
Wait a minute.
Can I come?
We lose in this. Because we don't get the per diem to pay with.
What do you mean?
We start off with our money.
They're paying with a craft.
They're paying with $45 that is not coming out of their pockets.
No, but they'd have to pay for themselves. And then the stuff they pay for us
right,
would come out of their pockets.
Right, but it's still $45 less
than
we have to pay.
$25, so.
Oh, you mean like if we didn't go there,
if
right?
If we lose,
right,
we right. have
if we
to
go
split.
Out to Davio's, you guys are on
the long. No, I can't believe how long it took
no,
me to get on
what
board.
We'll do is ours will be extended to next year, Paul. We'll pick up ours next year.
We may not even be here next year.
Yeah, I know.
Where are you going?
I don't know, but you don't want to take anything for granted, especially with our reviews
That's
coming
what
up.
I'll tell you what,
picking the race.
If you're not here next year, I'll let you off the hook. That's fine with me.
I'm just disappointed that I don't get anything
no,
out
wait,
of that.
I'm not on the hook next year. You're on the hook next year. If I win, it's next year. If you win, it's next week.
Right.
I'm
fine with it.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
They have to pay for us on the road next. Now, will that be next Friday and Saturday night?
No. One meal Saturday.
Just one meal.
Say-outs.
At night.
We'll say-outs. Go to Say-outs.
Want
exactly.
to go to Say-outs?
We'll
say-outs,
go to
say-outs is a great place, by the way. Did you go when we went there?
I've been there, but I didn't go that time when you guys.
We should talk to Junior and see how crowded it gets.
Saturday night,
like
dinner,
no, wait,
say-outs.
Do we really want to go there with all those Chargers fans? Anyway, we'll find a place.
Wouldn't there be Patriots fans there?
Well, the loser buy me lunch next week?
No, you get nothing.
No, you are a loser.
Why? Who do you think is going to win?
Why don't you get one of your 25 staff members to buy it for you?
Just starting with you guys.
Fill up the fridge, would you please? There's no drinks left.
All right, wow. So it's on.
No, there won't be.
Saturday night at Seau's, we buy you guys dinner if the Patriots win this week.
Next week at some point, if the Patriots lose, we'll go where?
If not, next year, Paul and I will
buy. Next week we're going to eat.
Oh, just go somewhere next week.
Yes. Okay. Paul and I next year.
No, because we'll forget. No, yeah, this happens this week.
No, no, we won't forget.
This bet gets paid.
I said
this
we'll extend it on the next year. You said
screw
okay.
Screw you, this week.
You just said okay to that. You just said okay.
This week. Pony up. Either a big lunch.
That's not fair because we'd be having to buy without per diem.
So?
You guys,
you're rich. You drive a Cadillac, and you're loaded.
Half of your dinner is already paid for.
Okay, so we'll split the difference. We'll just do lunch. If we win, we do dinner because we have a bump to start with a foundation.
Right.
If you guys, if we win,
well,
we have lunch.
It's going to be lunch anyway because I'm not, you know, spending.
Yeah, we're
time.
Not going to dinner with you.
I'm not going on my own time. To go no,
well, well, that's not fair point. Then because when you order your 15 beers, I can't order 15 beers at lunch.
Too bad. So then extend it to next year.
That might be the finish.
Okay, well,
you could have the 15 beers on the air.
Because you do make a good point. I will be having at least nine.
I know.
Nine
and I win in the end. I'll pay for
especially
those.
Especially
because
you
drunk is priceless.
We'll be back
and
in
San Diego.
Diego.
You start
right.
Slurring your words and your eyes are a little.
Well, what, wasn't it San Diego last
year? Yeah.
Science.
He's quick, isn't he?
When you waited to walk him back to his room. I think he was trying to take advantage of you. I don't think it was about a safety thing.
He's not the first guy.
He was.
Eric, too?
Wow.
Oh, hey, we got to hurry up and make picks because Johnson, yes, we got to get the argument between the two of them going.
You haven't even started yet?
There's only four games.
Four games, oh. Hi-ho.
All right, that's right.
We're not picking that
minor league game that's going on tonight.
Wait, no. Quickly.
I'm with the other 49 states, by the way.
Listen, you and strippers have a bet, okay?
Allegedly.
And
oh, no.
Not allegedly.
No.
Web Radio was serving as the bookie.
Stripper said he was going to give me, he said Alabama by 14. And then he backed off of that.
Right.
And so he hasn't come back and said, I'll give you 14.
It's four, I thought.
Oh, we settled. No. We settled at 13.5.
He settled at 13.5.
Okay. We'll give you the 13.5.
13.5.
I'll take 13.5.
The loser buys dinner, buys lunch for PFW. And you're included if you receive it from strippers. You come up or show up early.
Fair enough.
Okay.
What's the spread?
13.5.
13.5. It doesn't matter what the spread is because we win either way. Shut up.
Shut
your pie hole. We get a free lunch either way.
I said, 14 points is what he said Alabama was going to win the game by. I said, you're not really serious, are you? And, he obviously insisted that that was the case. So he gave me 13.5 so that way there wouldn't be a push.
Right.
Okay.
And either way, I eat a chicken parm calzone. Okay, let's get to the games.
Things don't get much better than that.
I'm just lining up free food.
I got to tell you, John.
I'm rooting for you, Andy,
for a variety of reasons. I hate Alabama, always have, and I really hate Nick Saban. And I kind of like Texas, and I really like Mack Brown. I just don't see it. I don't see how you have a shot.
Colt McPansy.
All I can say is they said that in 06, baby. That's all
And you so had Vince Young, one of the greatest college winners.
Here's what you had going. Let me ask you a question. Come on, bring it on, baby. Why is it that Texas has a shot, but the Patriots don't?
Ding.
Wait a minute. We got to make picks. Save it. We got to make picks first.
I'm just wondering.
What time's
I'm just wondering.
You Texas apologist, you.
That's right. Because I'm a Texas apologist.
Okay. All right. And he drinks tequila.
Okay.
You had something going for you.
What's that? What did I have?
Paul's just shaking his head at Doc.
My boss. I shouldn't be doing that. So I'm disrespectful.
What did I have going for me?
You had something going for you. Was it 2006? Is that the year that they...
Vince Young.
There was a guy on the other sideline who really made your job a lot easier. Named Pete Carroll. You don't have that. You don't have that going for you. Nick Saban, as much as I don't like him, is a great coach.
Listen, I'll be the first to tell you that Alabama's very good. They've got a very strong defense. They've got at least a physical enough offense to give any team problems. Obviously, the University of Florida.
Defensively, I think Texas can compete.
Sure, they can. And what this game is going to boil down to is whether or not Texas can score. I think. Extra points, and by that I mean either defense or special teams points.
Oh, I thought you meant they score touchdowns. They actually kick.
Yeah,
no.
Where they would score other than the traditional way, right? If they can, because Alabama does not have good kick coverage. Okay, they don't. Look at the numbers. They've given up two kick returns.
Breaking it down.
Are we really hanging our hat on returning a kick? Which is like Fred. Well,
only because DJ Monroe has returned two kickoffs for touchdowns this year, and only because Jordan Shipley is capable of doing that as well.
I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
I'll even make it out of the second quarter.
Why, are you going to fall asleep?
Yeah, probably. The game should start too late. Okay. I'll be back right
at his
around.
His age.
Yeah. I got in you, George.
True. I mean, really.
I got in you, George Mason, tonight. I'll be back in time.
In you, George Mason.
I'll be back in time for kickoff.
Oh, my God.
the game doesn't start until 8:38 or something like that.
8:37.
8:37.
Be there or be square.
So I might miss the kickoff and a little bit more, but I'll be home
or
by
pair.
Nine.
Be there or be pair.
Huskies over Mason tonight.
The
big
thing
win.
Is, it's
big
women's
win.
Volleyball. What he's talking about.
Yes!
Good, Fred.
All right. We're going to start off on Saturday, the afternoon affair. What? You already played the music.
I wanted to play it again.
What are you doing?
I felt like it. Just make your picks.
Oh, God. All right.
You know what? I should actually go back.
And give the results.
And give the final results.
Yeah, don't. No one cares.
Yeah.
Eric, we do.
We care.
Eric, first thing he's ever won in his life.
Yeah. Woo-wee!
176.
Always a bridesmaid. Now the bride.
176-80.
That means you won. You got over the hump.
That was actually pretty funny.
Thanks.
Eric wins 176-80. Andy second, 173-83.
We're
going
to fight. We really are.
Are you guys going to let me do this?
Sorry.
Sorry, Dad.
John Rosenthal. Andy was second to Eric, 173-83. I was third, 171-85. And Fred, listen to this now. Keep in mind, 171-85 was third. Fred, 156-100.
Oh,
15 games out of third place.
And that's the guy that's picking the Patriots.
Only 56. He's the one picking the Patriots.
That's right.
Okay, with the spread, Eric also took the crown.
What do you mean by crown?
I love being a straight guy.
We're going to fight, too.
130.
After I kick Andy's ass, you're next.
Now you got to.
It's like at boarding school all over again.
That's right.
That kid was never the same.
Eric went 135-118-3 with the spread, which is pretty impressive. I was second, 131-122-3. Those are the only two of us that managed to finish above 500.
Wow.
Andy, 123-130-3, and surprisingly, Fred only two games behind in last place.
Andy really fell off.
121-132-3. So those are the final standings for the radio show regular season.
If we had just done December, I would have won.
And Fred finished with a flourish. He's right.
And the sound you hear is a
he's like Eric Mangini.
Yeah, I was going to say you're like the Cleveland Browns.
Right. New York Jets at Cincinnati. There will be three rematches. This is the first of the three rematches from Week 17 games. Bengals by 2.5. 2.5.
2.5. We were talking about it upstairs, Fred. Yes. We used to be great in the playoffs. And
yes.
We would all go like undefeated for like the first couple weeks. I went undefeated a whole year once.
Yep.
I don't feel that good about these picks. I don't really know.
I think this is a very tough slate of wild card games.
I am going to go with the Bengals at home. What was the spread?
2.5.
Yeah, win and cover. I don't feel great about it. I can easily see the Jets winning this football game by just doing what they do. Play defense, run the ball, and if Sanchez doesn't turn it over, I think they have the formula to win. But I'll say they get the pick they need.
I think Cincinnati is enough of a good team that they're gonna come out and make up for that embarrassment that they laid in New York last week. I think they win by 7 points. So I'll lay the points. Probably.
Yeah, last week means absolutely nothing because none of the players that participated in that game for Cincinnati will be doing so this week.
Right.
I agree with Andy's analysis dead on. I think it's a game the Jets can win, but I think Sanchez will lose it, and I'll pick the Bengals. It's kind of a battle of those two teams that have terrible, terrible history
right.
in big games,
right.
And I'll go with the home team. John, you want to make picks?
Sure.
All right.
Fire away.
Cincinnati and the Jets.
I thought maybe you were going to like lead in or something here. I got to take Cincinnati and the points.
I'm going to take the Jets in this game. I think Cincinnati's been a fraud team for the last half of the season. I don't think you lose 37-0 with anybody on your team and then just bounce back. There's no switch to flip in Cincinnati. It's not like
except a panic one.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently, what I saw last year with the Cardinals didn't really happen.
They're not like one of those teams that can do it. I'm picking the Jets in this game.
All right, Philadelphia.
Unless it kills me.
Is at Dallas in another rematch. Dallas beat them both times in the regular season.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
And they're favored by 4 in Jerry's Palace.
History. You know, I'm going to go with the Eagles because I think they've been there and done that.
It doesn't matter what the Patriots do in history, but when the Eagles do.
Failure, to me, is easier to repeat than victory.
I'm not going
to
give that up for you.
I think failure is easier to repeat than victory. And the Cowboys fail in the postseason.
It's, what is it now, 10 years, 15
yeah,
years
since
long, they won a playoff game? I think it continues. I like Asante Samuel. You know that, Fred. I like DeSean Jackson. Mm-hmm. I think the Eagles have playmakers around Donovan McNabb. He's the only guy I fear not making plays. The rest of their team, Leonard Weaver, is he healthy? I think they have guys that make plays when they need to be made.
So you're asking me if
I'm just asking you if
a division opponent is going to win three times over another.
Yes.
I don't think so. I think Philly bounces back and wins this game.
Just do the picks. He's been all over you all week.
I know. He's turned into the most evil person on the show.
He is, and that's
a good thing you work for me now, right?
I have nothing nothing to base this on, but I think the Eagles are just a flat out better team than Dallas. They lost both games. I don't care about the three times thing because I would rather be the team that won the two meetings than lost the two meetings any day of the week. I don't really think it's that hard if you're better to beat a team three times. However, this is going to be the better team winning. The Eagles are going to win, and for the reason that Andy said, they have the playmakers, and they just missed those plays last week. They won't miss them again.
Because a lot of people are picking the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But they need to beat a team they haven't beat yet.
If they don't win this game, they won't go to the Super Bowl. John?
Bold. I'm going to go again, you all. I'm going to take Dallas.
That's because you're from Texas.
Not necessarily.
You're picking with your heart all day today.
No, actually, the reason that I'm picking Dallas in this one is because for the first time in a long time, I actually see the Cowboys with some momentum late in the season.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm actually siding with the Texas apologist, John, and I'm going to – I'm picking the Cowboys. You know, I just think that the Cowboys –
Cover, too?
What's
to
that?
Cover?
Yep. I think the Cowboys' defense is that good. You know, and I think that, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, it was a game that the Philadelphia, you know, didn't play, didn't show. I heard somebody say on the radio, they didn't show everything last week. That was a big game.
No, see, you didn't hear on the radio properly.
What did they say?
They said they fell behind quickly, and then and rather than exhausting all of their energies to come back, they pulled it back, and they didn't blitz. They didn't do any of that stuff late.
Wasn't it a big game?
Yeah, but once you fall behind, it's not worth the effort to come back.
They packed it in.
Well, they didn't no-show like Cincinnati did.
Yeah,
but
no, they
fell behind reasonably quickly, 14-0, and then decided to, we got to come back here anyway.
Yeah, I think Dallas wins this game. And again, it's a game where I'm rooting for the other team, but I'm picking two teams that I really do hate.
You hate everybody.
Picking the Jets and the Cowboys.
And at some point, you rooted for everybody.
But I love watching both of those teams lose whenever.
You were rooting for the Colts to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl, so yeah, I don't know with you anymore.
The late game on Sunday after we're all through is Green Bay and Arizona.
For the day.
Right. The game's over.
Right.
I can't believe how long it took you for that.
Cardinals, you should have winked.
Cardinals at home by one.
Yeah, I would take the Packers to win this one outright. They were my Super Bowl pick to open the year. Kind of cut ties with them early when they struggled defensively. But I think they're playing some pretty good football. And I'm an Aaron Rodgers guy. I'm a quarterback guy in this league. I think he makes the plays to get it done. And I think they get the turnovers they need to make the Cardinals in
and you're
it.
Also a bandwagon guy. You were on them early. You're off them. Now you're back on them again.
I left a toe on. Just
good point.
I saw that Rodgers Cromartie is banged up.
Yep.
And Bolden is banged up. And I was going to go with the Cardinals, but I think because of that, I'm going to have to go with Green Bay to win the second
good
week in a row. I don't feel that great about it, but
I am a little worried about the Bolden injury, but I like the Cardinals in this game. I think the Cardinals are a better team that has sort of managed the regular season. I don't think they haven't had the urgency that the other teams had because they play in that terrible, terrible division. And I think that, again, the Bolden injury is concerning, but I think overall – their offense is going to be too much, and they're playing at home. Their offense is very good. And, Kurt Warner, I think, is a proven postseason guy, if you want to go with the Fred Kirsch history theory. I like the Cardinals in this game, and it doesn't seem like anybody else does. Everybody loves Green Bay.
I love Green Bay, too, just because of their defense.
Pack.
Everybody likes Green Bay in this game, so I think that might be one that I could.
John was distracted. They were showing Colt McCoy pregame
like
meal.
That's right.
You know, the closeness
sure
of these games, everybody's kind of like split. There's no unanimous, you know, team in any of these.
Okay. That leads us to the game that we've been talking about ad nauseum for 3 days.
Hey, well, this is
which game is that?
Patriots by
Texas, Alabama.
Yeah, thank you.
By 3.5.
Well, there is actually
like 3.5.
I'm not me. I'll take the Ravens. I just think they're the better football team.
I thought you were going to just pick ball. If you just picked the Patriots, I was going to throw a book at you.
Wouldn't that have been funny?
No, I think the Ravens will do enough on offense. I think they'll run the ball. I think Flacco's good enough to make some plays against this secondary. And I think defensively, they're good enough to stop the Patriots' running game. Everybody seems to think, oh, the passing game took a step back. We'll run the ball more. I'm not sure you're going to be able to do that as much as you want to against Haloti Ngata and those guys up front, Ray Lewis, obviously. I think it's a dogfight of a game that the Ravens win by a field goal or a touchdown at most.
I mean, we've talked about it enough. I just don't think the Patriots are playing good enough football, consistent enough football on either side of the ball. And I think, you know, Baltimore's not either, but I think they're hungrier after having come here and lost in week four, so I'm going to take the Ravens.
I am going to take the Patriots to win the game. I think the stuff that Fred and I have sort of hung our hats on all week, I think Brady, Belichick, Gillette Stadium, two sort of even teams. It's going to be, a slugfest.
Mm-hmm.
But the Patriots find a way to win just by a little, and I like that half point, so I'm going to take Baltimore to cover on the backside. John?
Well, I was going to save this for later, but since we're doing it now, I'll do it now. And, Fred, I think I've come around to your way of thinking, believe it or not.
Oh,
I'm going to take the Patriots to win, but Baltimore to cover.
Okay, well.
About 19-17.
That's my pick.
That's what I was thinking this morning.
So well, you obviously watch PFW television.
Yeah, that's right.
I've got to
exactly
go with
where
the Ravens.
I got it from.
No. Of course, I'm picking the Patriots, but not of course. I think it's going to be a tough game.
Yes, of course.
My final score is going to be 31-21. It'll actually be closer than that. But
so this one won't be as easy as you thought.
So you think the Patriots score
the
late and make it a blowout?
Right.
No,
first one came down to the final play, and he goes, it was much easier than I thought it was going to be, and this one is going to be a 10-point victory that's not nearly that
right.
Separate.
Wait a minute, you took Baltimore to – no, you didn't take
– no, I didn't take them to cover. I took the –
no,
what's the spread, 4.5?
Three and a half.
All right, well, that'll do it for
this week's edition.
We'll be back –
dinner on the line.
We'll be back with a full week of PFW in progress next week.
We'll be back
Tuesday.
Because the Patriots are going to win on Sunday.
We'll be back Tuesday.
Days are off, baby.